Well, since everyone's quiet, no need to bang the gavel, as it were, but I will formally call this joint meeting of the Committee of the Whole of the City Council and the Geneva Downtown Partnership to order. And I would kindly ask, however unusual, for really just everyone to identify themselves for the benefit of all those gathered, and then just state that you are indeed here. So we'll begin with Alderman Maladra.
Craig Maladra, I'm Alderman from the Fifth Ward.
Dorothy Flanagan, Fourth Ward Alderman. John Oglesberg, Third Ward Alderman.
Rich Marx, Second Ward Alderman.
Chuck Brown, First Ward.
Stephanie Dawkins, Assistant City Administrator. Gene Fenari, Executive Assistant.
Larry Casper, Vice Chairman.
Kevin Burns, Mayor of Geneva.
Chuck Radovich, City Attorney.
Amy Citrix, City Administrator.
James Indian, Director of Public Works.
Sam Hill, Alderman, First Ward, and ex officio member of the Downtown Partnership.
Scott Leven, Member of GUD.
Bob Piper, Third Ward.
Second.
Ray Pye, Third Ward.
Ross Kinter, Fourth Ward.
Ralph Cantino, Fifth Ward.
Great. And we have several friendly faces in the audience as well, who I'm certain we'll hear from throughout the process tonight. As I stated from the get-go, this is it's really not an unusual meeting, but it is perhaps not a common occurrence that the committee and or city council has a joint meeting with another governing body. We've had joint meetings with our friends from the Plan Commission. We've had joint meetings with our friends from the Historic Preservation Commission. And tonight's meeting with the GDP is, I think, evidence and testimony to the fact that when there are heady decisions to be made and significant debate to be had, that the council does not carry out that debate in a vacuum, but instead we invite those who have an equally powerful voice and strong opinions to participate with us. So this tonight is a casual meeting for all practical purposes. We invite participation from not only those seated at the makeshift dais, but anyone in the audience as well. If anyone does have a comment to make, we obviously invite them to join us at the podium. The discussion should be lively and thorough, and at the end of the evening, we are looking for direction. We are specifically looking for direction for the benefit of our economic development team and our city administrator, because there are some housekeeping issues to be taken care of prior to the end of this calendar year, depending on the decision that we make. So, any questions regarding the format? Mr. Casper? And I will govern the behavior and commentary from each of our respective groups. How's that?
Gotcha.
Does that sound good? So Mr. Casper will recognize those from the GDP. I'll recognize those, except for Mr. Piper, from the Committee of the Whole. So since he doesn't know where the hell he is or what he represents, should work out well. Item one, ladies and gentlemen, 1A, is consider adjustment of the SSA, which stands for Special Service Area, number one, tax levy for fiscal year 2010-11 to a rate of 20 cents. Do I have a typo in mine? Mill? Yeah, 20 cents per mill. So, I will entertain a motion from the committee to get this onto the floor. Motion by Alderman Maladra, seconded by Alderman Hill. Now we can discuss this matter in great detail. I'm going to defer to Mr. Evans. That was Ellen DeVita pointing to me saying, don't forget Mr. Evans. Mr. Evans has a presentation tonight for all of our benefit. I think Vice Chairman Casper and I are going to sneak away a little bit so that you guys don't have to worry about our heads in the way. Let's have Mr. Evans go through the presentation in its entirety, and then following that presentation, we'll take questions. Sound good? Okay, thank you. There is a microphone, Mr. Evans, out there, if you want to put that on. Because Mr. Evans is speaking, that's why we're not actually having this televised. FCC rules and all. That was a joke, by the way.
He's just the glare.
Anybody hear me? All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Obviously, part of the reason that we have Geneva Downtown Partnership tonight here is because the Geneva Downtown Partnership is the oversight committee for the SSA, and they make the recommendations to the city council, and they review the budget each year for the SSA. With that, one of the things that we undertook in the Economic Development Department this year was the review analysis of SSA, number one. And with that, we had a departmental team, and a number of the members are here. Mary McKittrick, Chuck Radovich, helped us with some of the legal issues we're dealing with. Alan, obviously, is a big leader in that. And we had a real good interdepartmental team, Dick Hunch, Dan Dinges, Don Weiss, Eric Pasquarelli, Pam Boviak, myself, Steve Lemire, and then Melanie. You'll have this with some of the maps so we can try to present this in an organized manner for you. Some of the tasks that we undertook were then review of the legislation and the ordinance for the SSA one. We obviously went through each of those, developed a database of all the parcels within the SSA one, and then we reviewed the exempt criteria against that. And that's what you saw us bringing those forwards, exemption removals or properties to be exempted. And then we identified the services that were in the SSA, and we'll go into those in more detail. And then the actual costs for those services we looked at the last completed fiscal year, which was 2008-2009. And we had some figures from that year across seven different categories. And then lastly, identifying potential changes, which we brought before, in exempt and non-exempt, and potential expansion of the SSA 1 district. The SSA, the legislation for it talks about a contiguous area within a municipality, which has special government services that are provided in addition to those services provided generally throughout the municipality. In other words, it has to be special services, not applied to the city as a whole. That's the whole point and the purpose of a special service area. Are these above and beyond what's normally delivered to that area? And then the cost of the special services are generally paid from the revenues collected out of the taxes imposed on the property within that area. And then the territory, it was just kind of a footnote that it's generally contiguous, but if you exempt parcels within your boundaries, it's still contiguous with those through those parcels. Next is a map of the SSA, and you've seen that a number of times. This actually map reflects the 1997 boundaries. One we had earlier, we had a little boundary change, and we had to catch up with what that boundary change entailed. The change in the 1997 one included adding properties around the Dotson area, and then on each side of 3rd Street, and a little bit south of State Street. History of the SSA, it was created in 1979, and the reason that we created the SSA was to fund free parking operations and maintenance and construction for future parking facilities. That was the total purpose of the SSA in 1979. And then it created the language that we're familiar with as far as non-commercial properties being exempted until such time as they're converted in whole or in part to residential, basically a residential use. And then the mill rate was 0.6 back in 1979. It's for a 10-year term. They had the budget, the bonding authority to up to $300,000. And then during that phase between 1979 and 1988, the city actually enlarged the district three times, I think a couple times in 1981 and one time in 1982. Where we were adding properties into the SSA district. And then in 1986, seven parcels were exempted from the SSA. And at that time, the EAV was about $8.2 million. In 1988, which I described a little bit, they had several map boundary changes, so the actual SSA size was enlarged. And the purposes were, they were expanded to also include the acquisition, construction, maintenance, or on-street parking stalls. Before, it was mainly parking lots and future parking facilities, but this was to include on-street parking. And obviously with that was also the maintenance of those parking, on-street parking stalls. The .3 mil set at the rate at that time for the maximum tax rate. And it was a 15-year, it was established for 15 years. The bonding authority, they had $1 million that they could bond in the SSA over that 15 years. And the maximum was a 9% interest rate that they could use at that time. The, in 1988 also was another major change was up to 10% of the annual fiscal revenue that they used for physical improvements, which weren't directly related to parking. And this was including like streetscaping, things, landscaping, public seating, etc. And that 10% could go to 20% if they had a unanimous vote of the non-elected members of the joint parking committee. At that time, which had three aldermen and three businessmen. And then their bonding authority, in 1988, they had let a bond for $260,000, largely used for Block 50. And the EAD at that point was about $13 million for the whole SSA. And then in 1997, it was the same basic ordinance. The map was the same. The ordinance largely had almost all the same provisions of the 88 ordinance. And again, this was when they adopted the 97 ordinance, it was before the expiration of the 88 ordinance. The 88 ordinance was supposed to go for 15 years, and I think that they had were finishing up the bonds at that time, and they needed to establish new ones to create other parking lots and things at that time. So a new SSA was established, basically extending then for 23 years to 2023. This also allowed the same thing as the 10% for non-parking activities, and then currently that is 20%. With two-thirds of vote of GDP, and that was changed in 2007. And then you can see the EAD now it has grown to $21 million for the SSA district. And then these are the other, in 2005, the Joint Parking Committee was changed to the Geneva Business Committee, and in 2007, it was to the Geneva Downtown Partnership as the overseeing agencies of the SSA, which made recommendations. Currently, the debt that we have a bond that was let in 2001, issued in 2001, to help the single lot, the development of that. We pay $30,000 a year on that, and then there's a new payment that's due in August of 2016. In 2002, we also had some financing. This was through a note payable to Harris Bank. And we pay $32,000 a year on that, with the final payment being due next year. And then we think that basically the recommendation would be that the payments that are saved from that note would help to retire the balloon payment for the 2016, so that would begin to be a fund that we would use to help retire that. If not, we'd have to refinance the balloon payment for 2016. That's a possibility too. Subfinance we need to work at. As far as the current statistics of the SSA, it's about 76 acres, there's 472 parcels, around 36 blocks, of which 141 of the parcels are classified as exempt, considered residential, governmental, charitable, etc. And then in 2008, the EAD had grown from the 21 now to 61.9. And this is obviously the development that we've seen in the SSA over that period of time, and obviously investment the city has made. In August of 2009, these are what we recently have done. We moved the 14 commercial properties, and that added $2.85 million, and then we added another 8 recently in October, and then granted 18 exemptions for the residential, which you're familiar with, and that decreased the EAD by $2 million. So nearly a wash on those. Now, next you'll see, this is statistics that we put together of the SSA over time. You can kind of see what the budget's done in there over time. The EAD obviously has grown a lot during this period of time. The budget, you can see, it has had a steady growth, and the levy rate obviously has bounced around even to as high as 0.32 at one point in time. And you can see then the relationship between the levy, general levy rate, and what's transferred from the general fund. And then there is some other revenue, which is interest or fines or fees, et cetera, that we have had in the past. Obviously, I think now most of it is interest, and some a bit of it is parking fees from time to time that we receive. And then you can obviously, the big change there that you know is in 2002, the larger ones, because we let a bond, and that just reflects, you know, a 400, whatever, $1,000 bond or so that year that's in there. And then also through the, since 2002 beyond, we're also financing the note payable in that with another $30,000, which is obviously helping us to do some of the improvements within the district. What we do is take a look at, even though this relationship exists and we're looking at the total cost, then we did what actually is spent in the district, and then this is what we basically found, that $107,000 in the SSA one budget is, and then of that, see, 102 was transferred from the general fund, and then we had, 111 is how much more that we need to put into the SSA than what we had currently had in the SSA budget. That's what we needed, you know, and this was basically going to public works and saying things like, you know, the snow removal that you did here, this landscaping you did here, was that reflected in the SSA budget? No, it wasn't. It was reflected in ours. So we began to try to call those back into and say, what's the total cost that we're looking at to maintain the SSA? I mean, so that's what we were able to do. And with that, the budget that was largely $203,000 or $204,000 is now $321,000 to do everything that we currently do in the budget. To analyze that, we began to break that down into several categories. And, you know, here are the different categories. The first categories that we talk about, 1 through 4 here, are what we consider to be essential services. And the reason we use essential services, these are the primary reasons that the SSA was developed. And from the legislation of the SSA, it's saying that between 80 and 90% of the funds levied, of the revenues levied in the SSA, have to be targeted to these particular items. Debt service, and the debt service is obviously for the acquisition or maintenance of the parking lots and the downtown of the assets in the SSA. Then there, you know, the parking lot maintenance, that snow removal in the parking lots, patching, striping, etc. And then the labor of maintaining anything within the SSA. The administrative services is filing documents, liability insurance. It also includes like the Social Security and other types of insurance paid in there. Then it's also has the payment of lease fees for lots that we have in there, and then any legal or engineering fees paid out of that fund. The police services, that's the amount that we have, which is shown there, typically 58% of the CSOs and 50% of the vehicle use. This is basically the collection of fines and the administration of on-street parking within the SSA district. So again, these total to be $203,000, which is basically is close to the amount that we currently have budgeted for the SSA one. It was 206 or 203. And so right now that parallels really well with the services that we consider essential, because those are the primary first purposes that were established for SSA one. In addition to that, we have, these are the other five services, and these are to comprise between 10 and 20% of the budget. So before we had a 200, basically last year's budget was a $200,000 budget, so we could spend between 20,000 and I guess it would be a total of 40,000. It just depends on what funds are being used, but the levy rate that we levy to the taxpayers, that's the one that we're looking at, is set aside as 10, so is 10 to 20%. So, for example, for street skating, the 71,000 that we have is the installation of street skating improvements, things that we do. It's largely the labor that we do to maintain all the different things in the downtown. Obviously, snow removal costs, this is the cost is to remove, and this was a cost in the 2008 to 2009 year. These were our actual costs, and that's what it was to do the labor of doing salt and snow and walkways throughout the whole SSA. And then the beautification expenses, that was what was allocated in 2008-2009. Obviously, this year, we didn't have that allocation for the SSA. And then, so you can see the total for the non-essential, because they were called out in the ordinance themselves, is $118,000. And that brings the total of all of the SSA to $321,000. Whereas in our SSA budget, it's about $206,000. So those are some of the things that we're trying to establish. What is the true cost of all the costs that we do to maintain the SSA? Here's some of the cost analysis. Is SSA is primarily for the, obviously, is maintenance, acquisition, repair of off-street parking. We went through that. The property tax levy basically funds 32%, I mean, this is the amount generated through the taxes of the properties that are eligible in SSA 1, with the other part largely of 67% or so coming from the general fund. There is a small amount that is generated through other funds too. And then, so currently 37% of the expenditures from all accounts in both SSA and general fund are for non-parking related items. And so that's one of the ones that's higher than what would typically be required by the ordinance. And so that requires us to put in general fund monies in order to meet the requirements of the SSA. So the total value of the SSA 1 properties, as we've seen, has tripled since 1988. And the city, basically from that chart from before, we saw that a ratio of 2 to 1 is now, we're coming closer to a 1 to 1 ratio. Some of the factors that we've seen that have caused some of these increases in the SSA is obviously the demand for increased services such as snow removal and the maintenance of the streetscape improvements since 2003. These are more recent occurrences that have helped increase the cost that we have in these for SSA 1. Obviously, there's an increase in exempt residential units, as we saw the development of Docks and Place, which was previously it was commercial. Now it's going to be residential, and so those properties would be are going to be exempt expiration. In the downtown TIF district, that occurred, I believe, in 2005-2006. Some of the items that were funded, the improvements that we've done through the TIF district, are now ones that we have to maintain through the SSA, at least outside of the normal, typical, things like snow plowing the street, things like that. But the maintenance items and streetscape items are now the responsibility of a lot of the SSA. And then, so the same thing with more businesses in the area has increased the parking demand and the need for additional parking lots. That's something we'll talk about in a while. And the same thing with the decrease in the parking spaces since July of 2000, and excuse me, parking space fees. Since July of 2000, we had a parking moratorium. Ahead of that, we used to receive more in parking fees, parking space fees, and that was to help us the SSA 1. So that's something that we'd like to revisit too. The annual fund, this is one of, we had Pam Robiak, look at what would be the cost to maintain all the parking lots. So we have an organized plan of maintaining the lots. Right now, we kind of just, you know, do it on a basis of what needs it the most at this time, but that is a recipe for us falling behind. And what we might try to say is, what would it cost us to try and maintain this on a regular basis? And what Public Works has come up with is, it's about $114,000 needs to be set aside each year on average to go through. And she has in your packet I sent, she shows the expenses of each of the lots and what the costs are to maintain each of those lots. And that's what it would be, basically, is $114,000. Currently, we spend about $30,000, at least in 2009, we had to spend $30,000 for the construction and rehabilitation. So we're looking at an addition, it would be a net $80,000 that would be needed from the SSA in order to maintain those parking assets that we have in the SSA. In addition to that, and we hope we'll also be part of the parking study comes up if we receive the grant, which looks good. We'll study the future parking needs of the downtown. Now, where we need additional parking, where it's tight at, where are some possibilities, and obviously, as the board knows, in the remaining property that's just come up, is looking at some opportunities to satisfy that in the downtown. Well, the SSA one would be one of the instruments or tools to work with to get the additional parking in downtown. So, you know, addressing these future parking needs would be through the acquisition development of a capital fund to develop them or to acquire these properties. And then obviously, one that you're familiar with, we just had the Joshua Plaza this year, the maintenance of that also falls within the SSA fund. These are some of the issues that we're bringing forward from our committee as far as things that we'd like the city, committee in the whole, and Geneva Downtown Partnership to look at is the appropriate level of general fund transfer into SSA 1. You know, obviously, things are tight all around. We're looking at what we can do here and what's the appropriate level of assistance to SSA 1. And then these improvements are obviously for the downtown and not outside of the downtown. And the maintenance of the capital fund, should we establish a capital fund to maintain each of the lots? This is the $114,000 average. And then lastly, we need a capital reserve to fund the acquisition and development of new lots in the downtown. Here is the property tax levy. If we use our estimate right now is that it's about $62 million, $62.2 million is the equalized assessed value of the SSA 1. If the current rate of 0.167 was used to generate about $104,000, this year it was $102,000 for the levy, what was generated. Staff is recommending that the levy be raised to 0.0020, which would generate about $124,000 for the SSA. This just shows what it would be on a typical value of a property. Now, these are EAV, those to the left are one-third of the market value. So if you had a $900,000 parcel, it would be equalized assessed at $300,000, and you would pay, currently you would pay about $500 a year. If we were to raise that levy, the $500 would go to $600 a year, if we were raising it to 0.2. The average that we were able to establish for SSA was about $221 a year, is what the average parcel, you know, so that, you know, it goes across. Obviously, there's a high and a low range. And, the low range is maybe, you know, $12 or $7 on little stub parcel left off to, you know, in thousands of dollars for some of the larger properties. Now, this is a recommendation that we have from the SSA one committee, that 80% of the parking fines be allocated to SSA one. Currently, that would be about $70,000. And that transfer would then replace the general fund transfer, which is around $100,000. And the point is that the parking fines at one time were targeted as being part of the SSA. And so we want to try to establish this nexus between that, the parking fines, and that's why the 80% that would be collected in downtown would be basically turned back to the SSA one, and that's the $70,000. And then the other part of this is that we're recommending a gradual increase of the property tax levy, 20 mils, 25, and up to 30 to address, obviously, some of the issues that we have between maintenance of and the services that are being currently provided. In this, for the 2010 year, staff is recommending that items 1 through 5, and 1 through 5 are the essential services plus the streetscape, so that the administration, police services, and maintenance, obviously maintenance and construction of those lots. And then items 6 and 7, which are snow removal and beautification, which wasn't funded in 2009, those would be suspended for the 2010-2011 year based on basically the funding in order to do that. So that's what staff's recommendation is in order to try to fund and try to get some sense of them with our SSA. And then on a long-term basis, obviously this is one of the things that we want to work with the property owners on possible scenarios. And one of this is creating a second SSA. And this is a future, basically a way of funding the non-essential services. As we saw, the essential services basically take up the $200,000 that we currently generate in the district. And it's not, the non-essential services are outside of, remember, they're between the 10 and 20% restriction that we have within the SSA. So that's one of the concerns that we have. And creating a second SSA that would deal specifically with them would be one of the alternatives to look at. Another alternative is to amend the existing SSA, which would include, looking at wider boundaries, are there properties that we should add into the district that aren't currently in the district. We're looking at raising the maximum levy limit. Right now, the maximum amount is from that table is $186,000, is the most that we can raise from the current levy at the current EAP. In addition to that, we may be able to, we're looking at legally as far as how that relates with the bonding authority, whether we can go in addition to that if we have some bonds. But from a levy rate, the most current thing that we can do is $186,000. And we, we're showing that the cost is $321,000 for all the services that we have at the SSA. And then lastly, we have space fee donations for new construction. This is where there would be a contribution. It's $4,500 of space when people are developing and they're not able to provide the parking. And obviously then that puts a demand on the SSA to provide parking for the new developments. And we're saying we think that it's a good idea to bring that back as one of the fees that would then go to help us establish more parking or maintain the parking within the SSA. Obviously, I've been through a lot of material, and I'm sure you guys have any questions. But I ask those questions, yes, this time.
Thank you, Paul, very much. There's a heck of a lot of information, isn't there? Good stuff. If are there any GDP members with us who are not seated at the dais? I don't think so, right? So we have two August members joining us tonight, including the vice chair. Well, Gene, why aren't you up here? Let me ask you that question again. You're more than welcome to join us, of course. Okay. now is the time for Q&A. Obviously, Mr. Evans will be available for such Q&A, as would Ms. DeVita and anyone else. Commander Passarelli is joining us, and other members of the committee who helped establish these recommendations. Is it safe to assume, Mr. Evans, that the recommendations that you presented are indeed endorsed by the panel of internal and external experts?
Correct.
Okay.
That, obviously, it's what we think is one of, is a recommendation. We're not saying this is the only way. There's a
right.
whole plethora of possible options out there. And we said, you know what, we need a starting point, and we think that this, from our committee, is a good starting point.
Okay. So there's a broad-based suggestions from throughout the community. Yeah, okay, good. Any objection? Do you want to go ahead and kick things off?
Yeah, I had a question.
Well, then we'll go to somebody else. All yours, Mr. Vice Chair.
Okay. One thing that I've been trying to read this, you know, I understand most of it, but we're short on money and we're moving money around. Why is the tax levy the lowest it's ever been? At 0.16, it's always been higher than that.
It's been about 0.16, I think, for the last.
Mr. Evans, we're going to ask you to stand at the podium, and I have a feeling you won't be sitting down anymore.
Because before that, it was 17,
19, 22, 25, 30. Well, I think partly this is the first time that we've gone back and done detailed analysis of all the costs. And before, you know, that was what serves the need of the district. Looking at it, you know, obviously it is $100,000 from the tax levy, $100,000 the city had put in, and some other funds, other sources. But basically, yeah, you can see from this list, 0.16, it's largely been at that rate for a number of years. Now, while we're mentioning the rate, and that can speak to this better, is we actually look at the budget and the rates kind of back out of that. And the rate only gives us an idea of what it would sort of yield for the equalized assessed value. So we look at a budget of $200,000, or we look at a budget of $213,000, and then the rate is generated back after looking at the total. I think in December we did a rate from the equalized assessed value from the township, from the county. So I guess it's basically we just having a lot of more detail of this year. We first get to the actual cost.
Thank you.
Hi, Paul. I'm going to add something to it. There's a material increase in the equalized assessed valuation. I mean, if you look at 2003, 2004, you're at 25 million, and now, you know, in a matter of 5-6 years, we're up to $62 million. When you look at the 2003, 2004, that levy rate was at 3. Was generating 75 million. So you've had a tremendous increase, which would typically mean that your amount generated, the tax monies would be reduced.
Right, but you just didn't ask for more property tax to be levied, and we would have not been able to take this. I want to look at this table, because it's interesting to see the transition. We're kind of a victim of our own success here. We welcomingly built all these improvements downtown, and now we need to fund them. We put all these beautification improvements in place to fit, and now we've got to maintain them. Now, and in 2002, 2003, we had the, you know, very, very large streetscape program. So that was the start of the change in terms of the needs of beautification and maintenance work. And then a lot of the improvements, you know, that were built through the TIF are now being maintained through the SSA. So those two things coupled, and as you look at the rate, now we were pretty steady in 2005, 2006 is when the TIF expired. So the next year, I think you basically kept it, you know, relatively level. You got 7,000 more in property tax. And I just don't think anyone recognized what was going on to say it's time to raise the levy rate, because we've been getting generally the same amount of money coming. And the parking fines, the space fees, you either get $2,500 per space if a new construction project can't put new spaces on site. that's a real touchy subject, because we wouldn't have all these beautiful buildings that we have downtown if we didn't have that in place. So we're recommending that we look at that through the downtown master plan that we're going to undertake next year, but we wanted to bring it up. That was a revenue source that hasn't been there as strongly as it had been in the past. And I also want to point out that this is not a budget. We're not bringing you the budget for next year. This is just an analysis of what we've been spending downtown. We still have to go through the process. But all the SSA levy of rates need to be used in the county by the end of the month. That's the only real decision we can make tonight, is if you want to accept our recommendation of gradually increasing property tax. Great, we can continue the other discussion throughout next year. And you can choose to go up the 20 cents that we recommend, you can choose to go higher, that's your call. But we have to have this on Monday night's agenda. And as you look at what we said don't fund next year, the Smith and the snow plowing and the streetscape, it's a hard call. If I own a property and it might cost me another $150, but I'm not going to get my snow plowed, that's why I'm hiring somebody. The property owner would rather just pay it collectively. This is what needs to be out of the way. There isn't a kind of scale of these with the student contract and not for these services. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. Mr. Casper, the floor is yours. All yours.
All mine.
Sure, what the heck, huh? Do you have any additional questions, or?
I have an additional comment.
Fire away, man.
About the suspension of the sidewalk snow removal.
Sure.
Because I look at it from a merchant point of view, mm-hmm. and most of you people here are not merchants. Suspension of these services would create serious problems. I'm just going to read this because they're kind of connected. basic facts: stores close on Sunday and Monday. Oops, I got some copies, but I don't have enough for everyone. Stores closed on Sunday and Monday. Will not shovel snow or salt until Tuesday. Many merchants are older and not able to shovel heavy snowfalls. Some merchants will not shovel or salt in a timely manner, even if they're open. Vacant stores will not be attended to promptly. And the issues are liability with non-uniform sidewalk care. Many elderly customers and other consumers in general are going to be exposed to sporadic, unsalted, unshoveled sidewalks, increasing the risk of slipping, falling, causing litigation. Visually, how will visitors and residents view the downtown appearance? We're a shopping destination for metropolitan area. Also, the merchants have been trying hard to get Geneva residents back into downtown. I think a less than pristine image would be damaging to Geneva's total image. Snow removal is the only tangible benefit that a merchant can see from SSA. They don't understand. A lot of them don't even understand what SSA is. They don't understand the parking lots, the whatever. But I think that if you went and told everybody that's had their snow plowed for the last 6 years that we're not going to do it anymore, you're going to have a problem from them. And I don't think, I mean, we're trying to work together, and I don't think that we want to create the animosity. And the only item that we're cutting from the budget is the snow removal, which is $31,000. And everything 1 through 5 remains the same or higher. And even though, you know, this is designated or defined as a non-essential service, it is essential to the downtown merchants. Yeah. Anyway, that's my thought on it. And I've talked to a few merchants on State Street, and they concur and asked me to pass that on.
Thank you. Just for the record, the recommendation on the panel is to actually eliminate items 6 and 7 moving forward, or at least I should say suspend. And secondarily, for language purposes, the term essential should not be construed as important, valued, or appreciated. The word essential speaks to the language of the code itself. So we tend to throw that around like it's not it. No question.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I just want for everyone else to benefit from that delineation as well. So. Any objection if I turn to some of the council members? Mr. Piper, Mr. Marks, Mr. Maladra, Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With what you handed out here, Larry,
I guess I have to read that, but it begs the question, Paul, with everything that I saw there, my hearing that the highest you can go is $186,000. I mean, from my standpoint, I guess, I said, well, why aren't we just moving it up so this thing funds itself? You can have all that you want, we move on.
Well, it wouldn't, it still wouldn't quite make the $186,000 seem the total cost.
But that's the highest you can go, is that correct? Is that what you're hearing?
With the current equalized assessed value.
It's the highest you can go based on whose governance?
The ordinance itself, limits us to .30.
Right.
For.
Plus debt.
Plus debt.
Plus if we also increase debt, so we can take a debt figure out of that, which is, would be about $30,000.
But we shouldn't forget that this council, with the support of the GDP and the community as a whole, can actually increase that amount should we choose to do so.
If you amend the ordinance.
If you amend the ordinance.
Yeah.
So there's that flexibility and largesse if we want to do so. Of course, it's not our money.
What is that number?
What is the number?
What is the number that we would have to go to and adjust to as a levy that would cover your $300,000? That we don't have to eliminate any services. Not taking anything out of the general. Everything's essential and it pays for itself. I don't believe any way that we subsidize any other SSAs around town. I know we put a lot of these things in downtown, it's absolutely gorgeous, and you're right, I hate to have to eliminate anything, but the fact remains we may have to make some hard decisions. Well, what is the cost? What is that number?
I think it's I would have to check, but I think it's close to 0.5.
Yeah, I would say if you look at the property levy, Dan, can you go to the slide? The first of the smaller red charts. Yeah, keep going. If you have a 30 mil, it produced $186,000, and then you were going to take the parking fines, and 80% of all parking fines occur downtown, so that's why we recommended this 80% of what the CSA collects to be at 250. And if we spent $320,000 in the next fiscal year, which is going to be a gap, 6 months, it brings another 100,000, you're back at adding a 16 cent, so 45 cents. Plus the parking fines, that's wrong.
Okay, and the parking fines, Manifest Railroad Yard.
Yes.
So we're looking at going from 0.3 to 0.45. I guess my question is, why wouldn't we just do that? I mean, this would be the room to do it. We can make the adjustment.
No, you need to. No, no. You would.
I mean, not immediately, but
you need to notice up all of the property owners and electors in special service area number one, have a public hearing relative to that change. And under the special service area laws, if 51% of the electors and property owners object to the proposed change, then that proposition would be defeated and could not be reinstituted for 2 years.
Okay, which brings us back to, we have our decisions to make, the rest has got to be done. So it's kind of a, it goes back to what she was saying. How do you want to pay for it? Because it's got to be paid for.
Right. We're trying to bring forward the cost of some options.
Right. No, absolutely. It's great, Paul. I'm just asking what the total is. Thank you.
Mr. Marks?
You know, the parking fees bring in roughly $70,000. What is typical parking fees?
That's really good. Most of them are $10 parking tickets.
Did we look at increasing that $10 parking tickets?
My daughter increases. She refuses to pay until after 10 days, so it's like $20.
So if you double it, we're at $140. You know, I mean, I think $10 is an ordinance that doesn't hurt anybody too much.
Actually, Chief Mexton and I have talked about looking at all of the parking violations because, relatively speaking, ours are low compared to many other
locations. $10 is extremely low.
So that is one of the
things. We've got to look at revenue, you know, the services like the.
That's another option.
I mean, I saw that there. The other option is, you know, we've got a balloon thing doing a lot. I mean, and interest rates in 2016 are not going to be as low as they are today by all recommendations. Why aren't we out refinancing that thing right now and spreading it out and have some extra cash there? I mean, you know, we've got to look.
Well, the availability of new sources of funds or replacement funds is not as plentiful as you may think.
I know, but still, it's going to be a lot cheaper now than it would be possibly in 2016, and we've got a balloon payment out there. I'm extremely uncomfortable with that. And I think that's an option that we should be looking at, is refinancing that at this point, and stretching the payments out from 4,000, doubling, at least doubling the parking fees. I don't think $25 is a bad cost.
But I will just reiterate what Paul had said. I believe that the plan was that the current note will be expiring next year, and those funds that would have gone to pay off that note could be applied.
Correct.
Over the next 6 years.
But we could have some extra
money. And that's $180,000.
We could extend that note out.
Yes.
And give us some more cash to work for. And have a little bit different. Bottom line is, I don't think the city has this general fund. We're really putting it through the wall. There is 102 of the tenants we're going to perform. We're at more than 2-1 ratio we're putting in. It's either the services have got to be cut way back, or the fees have got to be raised somewhere. And I think it's got to be a mixture of some sort of looking at the parking fees, that we should look at stretching that bond out, you know, and reducing that yearly payment. We take it out 10 years and still be well within the special service area of length of time that it has, and see what it's supposed to be. And then we can even look at suspending the snow removal for this.
Right, because we already passed the budget for it.
But what I'm saying is, I think we should still look at some of these other fines too. I mean, I think part of the fine should be before we move ahead and just start to jump in with the real estate tax rate. Yeah, $10.
I know Alderman Marks knows this, as we all do. You know, the ripple effect is something we can't take lightly.
Right.
And we hear regularly from merchants and from visitors to town during our festivals and other times of the year, I'll never visit your town again because I parked and I got a $2 parking ticket. Then we get 200 pennies soaked in honey. Isn't that right, Commander Passarelli? Yeah. And that's just the former chief sending the money. It's like brutal. So
yeah, but I mean, $10.
That's right. No, it's Phil Page. It was unbelievable. That's why we're not televising this meeting. It's awesome. Anything else, Alderman?
Not right now.
Mr. Malodra, Mr. Singer.
Well, first of all, I'll echo your last sentiment. I think we have to be careful how we tweak things down here, because if you make a parking fine too high, people stop coming and you defeated the purpose. Another way I think of looking at what Alderman Piper was saying, to me, it's a question of what value the property owners place on the services the SSA provides. Where you gave us a whole bunch of reasons about how necessary it is, but can you put a dollar value? How much are you guys, the merchants, willing to spend to keep those services coming? If you look at it right now, the money that we get from the SSA covers half of the essential service. There is no better indication in my mind that something needs to change. That we're just not getting enough out of the SSA the way that it's written. And that's the levy defined currently. I agree, somebody said this is a partnership, I agree with that. The city needs to ask itself what return we get on our investment that we do kick in. We've got as a top priority in all of our goal setting workshops, I don't know how many different ways this is expressed, but a strong, viable downtown is key to our strategy. Everywhere you look at it. And so we need to define what's required to keep Geneva's downtown without destination, and then determine what value we place, how we value the return on cash. So it's a combination of the city determining what value they get out of whatever we do kick into the general fund, and the merchants determining what value they place on the services that are provided by the SSA. And then for you, that's sort of picky question. There's item number 5, $71,420, something called street gate maintenance. That's just to keep the whatever we consider streetscape in shape
It's primarily labor, whether it's, you know, doing interrogation, whether it's delivering stuff, whether it's, installations. Well, here's your creation of it. We have some people that are
I was just curious about that. So, you know, in some, I think we have to do something now. I'm not happy that we have one night to decide what we want to do. So from where I stand, I think.
Well, just for the record, we don't have one night necessarily. We begin the conversation tonight. What we have under Illinois statute is by December 29th, we have to have. Well, December 7th, I know Ellen wants to present a formal package.
Well, I'm bringing the levies forward next Monday.
Right, on the 7th.
Including SSA 1.
But in terms of filing with the state, we have until the 29th of December.
Correct.
And worst case scenario, and forgive me for saying so, if we need to squeeze things, then Mary and her team works a little later at night, which they already do. But because by no means do we want to limit the conversation to just a few hours.
Okay.
If necessary.
But I so. Agree with all the fiber. We've got to agree to it, and I'm comfortable going with bringing it to the point two. We've got time to figure out what the appropriate levy rate would be, and by that I mean what are the merchants willing, what value do they place on the services, and what value does the city place on a strong downtown. We find that equilibrium.
After the
work,
then I've got to
get a first
one.
That's not legal.
Alderman Singer, Pollack, Brown, Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't understand why you're even considering abuse-taken expense in 210. And 211, in as much as that there wasn't any funding allocated from the SSA, even up until 209.
Correct. It wasn't in 209. It was in the 2008 and 2009 year, which is what we had our actual cost for. You know, because we haven't finished this year. But as you know, as you point out, there's not an allocation for beautification in the 2009-2010 budget. So that's the difference in the past. We have that, and that may be a decision that the council will look at again. Do you want beautification or do you not want to? But it's one of the things that was previously in SSA 1.
May I ask our Alderman Flanagan question regarding beautification at this point in time?
Depending on our answer, of course.
What are your expenditures in that for that beautification?
Well, first of all, I don't know where they got the $18,799. And I would like to clarify that particular amount, because that is not, unless somebody is considering taking the funds directly out of the Geneva Beautification Fund within the city and subsidizing that with $15,000, because beautification did not get $15,000. $15,799 ever in any 1 year. The highest we ever got was $10,000, and that was for 2 years. And then we decreased it this year. So I'm not understanding it. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask that. I didn't understand that amount unless it was combined with the other parks, because of a river park or something.
Not River Park, because River Park is out of the district, but it's the line item that was in the budget for the year. And Steeple Mayor is not with us tonight because he had to go home ill today. It's the monies that went towards the plant. It's not like in the long way having them donated, unfortunately. Well, it's monies that went, whatever monies we did receive, plus it was other projects, like possibly a bike rack at the commuter lot, things like that.
Okay,
it was a lump sum.
So yeah, when they talk about that amount, I was wondering how they came up with that. That for us, it's about $15,000.
It's not just flowers.
It's not just flowers. Yeah, no. But if you're going to ask me directly what our group in wholesale flowers, what we have to pay, it's about $15,000. And we try to stay under that, but, you know, sometimes it's... you know, depending on how many flowers we buy, and we can always adjust that.
I have a great concern regarding the issue of snow removal sidewalk. I'd like to direct this question toward the city attorney. Who would be liable in case of regarding the non-removal of the snow? Would the owner of the property be liable, or would...
Talking about in a commercial setting?
Yes.
If you're inviting the public in, you have a responsibility to provide some safety.
The property owner has that responsibility, not the leasing.
Well, it's probably one and the same.
One and the same. Okay.
Of the sidewalk, I don't know, but to clarify, so the sidewalk that's...
Leading into your place of reference, yeah.
Not coming to the door, but a lot that runs parallel around the street.
Does it stand to reason the city would be named in Lassute? Absolutely. We always are.
We always are.
Okay, but it is the responsibility of the...
Right.
I thought, though, that if you swept the street, you would be liable. If you left it unshoveled, then you wouldn't be liable. That was my interpretation according to...
It is a determination of negligence, but there is some differentiation between residential and commercial.
Okay.
Now, again, clarification is the actual sidewalk that is the public sidewalk. That's the responsibility of...
I think it's going to depend on where the person falls, you know, in relationship to where they were going. You know, there's a lot of fact situations, but generally in a business setting, and you're inviting the public to come, and there's some either accumulation of ice or a slippery area that you hadn't noticed on or not, you're responsible for it, and you're going to be named in some kind of action.
How will we, the city, enforce that responsibility?
We never have.
You don't.
It's not true. First of all, the State Street right of way is a state right of way. So IDOT has the jurisdiction over that. So it's not city owned property. We have certain agreements with the state of Illinois for the maintenance of the roads. You know, Third Street, which is the other primary thoroughfare in SSA 1, is city controlled. It has a trusteeship of that roadway. But again, we haven't had it in the past. You know, historically, over the 30-year period of this SSA, this has been a full swing, in my view, of the purpose of the special service area. In 1979, this special service area was created in direct reaction to a class action lawsuit that was filed against the city of Geneva by one of its residents, and a large judgment was rendered against the city. Because the city, through the city council and the Chamber of Commerce and the business community, agreed to impose a surcharge on the electric bills, the commercial electric bills in the downtown, to pay for business parking facilities. A property owner objected to that process and filed a class action lawsuit that went through the circuit courts all the way to the Illinois Supreme Court. The city lost that case, and a judgment was rendered against the city, in which there was, I think, if my memory is correct, I wasn't involved in the lawsuit, but I came in as city attorney at the very tail end when we were trying to reduce the judgment amount. And through the cooperation of many, many property owners in the downtown who relinquished their right to a class action refund. The judgment was about $300,000, as I recall, the city had to pay. This was a mechanism, the special service area to substitute for that program, to create some downtown parking without parking meters, without a fine or a permit system. Primary purpose and emphasis of SSA 1 from day one was to provide parking without a fee. From there, as Paul has aptly pointed out in his presentation, it has evolved in the last 20 years into more than just a parking regulation. It's now for other purposes, including the beautification, which you would commonly call beautification process.
Thank you. Paul, you're talking here of spending reallocation of the spending. What's your definition of suspending? I mean, is it possible that possibly in the near future we will have to move in the direction of suspending these expenses?
Well, I think there's an option. I mean, again, this is a recommendation, but suspension would mean that the city wouldn't spend that amount of money for that item during the next fiscal year. But could it be in the future? It's obviously dependent on what the city council comes up with, say, who says, or if you want to reinstitute something, a year after the line,
if you're welcome, sir.
Exactly.
Alderman Pollack, Brown, and Flanagan.
Is this the only SSA where the ratio is really kind of out of whack here, 2-1?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
If you look at this and we recognize that our downtown is extremely vital to what is perceived as Geneva. I concur with Alderman Lodge and Alderman Marks that parking fines probably should be raised. The bond should probably be refinanced considering where interest rates will be going. Granted, nobody has a crystal ball, but it's something that we have to give special consideration to. And we need to look to the merchants as partners, recognizing that as much as we want to help fund this, the money isn't there. We just don't have it. So something's going to have to be cut. Beautification, unfortunately, is obvious. Snow removal, as we just heard from Mr. Radovich, is not the responsibility of the city. I understand the problems snow removal might create, but we're at a time now where we have to ask everybody to pitch in, whether it's the residents, merchants, we all have to do our part. This is not going to be easy. There is no magic bullet. It pains me to say to the merchants, you're $200,000 over budget. There's nothing we can do. But together, it can be palatable. We're gonna have to raise a levy. We're gonna have to provide less service and hope that this economy turns around.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm somewhat worried about the direction the conversation is taking tonight. I've been involved with the special service hearing a long time. There's never been the assumption the whole thing should be covered by the merchants. Never. The benefits of having a good downtown, a beautiful downtown, clean sidewalks, adequate parking, no parking meters, a viable downtown, accrue to the benefit of everybody in the city. There's absolutely no question. My house is worth more because of our downtown. The property taxes I pay accrue to the benefit not just of the city's general fund, but the library fund, the school district, the park district. Everybody benefits from the fact that we have a viable downtown. There's always been an assumption most of the time that this SSA has been in place. It's been about a one-to-one share between the downtown merchants and the rest of the city. There's no question about this. Recently, we've had a huge increase in the beautification downtown. which we think is nice, we think is beautiful. We're now extending it up Third Street. We're probably going to extend it in parking, other parts of the town, which are not part of an SSA, will have to be paid for completely by the general fund, because they benefited everything. I don't have a problem with that. I pay my taxes into the general fund. I don't have a problem with at least half of the expenses of the downtown beautification coming from the general fund. I think they should. There's no way in the world that all of the benefits that we get from our downtown accrue only to the downtown merchants within this narrow boundary. That's just not true. They accrue to the benefit of everyone in town. So this idea, it's the first time I've heard it mentioned tonight. Some aldermen suggested they should pay for the whole thing. I've just never heard that before, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The other point I want to make is this beautification. It's not the merchants who are over budget, after all. It's the city council who approved all these beautifications. The Joshua Plaza, all these things were really a benefit. We're voted for by the council because we believe that they accrue to the benefit of the whole town. We put those things in because we want the town to look nicer. And I think we should all take responsibility for helping to pay for them. So I think a lot of the things on this list, which are being, quote, charged against the merchants, are really things that we ought to think very hard about and say, does that really benefit only, does that accrue only to the benefit of the merchants? Or does some major fraction of that is saying really benefit all of us in town? And I mean all of us, the library, the school district, the park district, everybody who lives in town. And if so, then we should bite the bullet and say those are expenses that belong to the general fund. The merchants are willing to put up their share. Originally, it was just parking, as the Attorney Radovich pointed out. And indeed, there was a lack of parking. And at those points, we were beginning to start getting competition from the St. Charles Mall. Anybody remember where the St. Charles Mall used to be? And it was clear the city needed more parking. Today we have lots of parking. As Paul Dakota loved to say, we don't have a parking problem. Most of our spots are full downtown, and they're free. There are no parking meters. How many towns in the greater Chicago area have parking meters downtown? That benefits me. I go downtown and don't have to take quarters along. Chicago piles of quarters to pile into meters. So I think we ought to refocus this question of which of these expenses really belong in the SSA and which clearly benefit everybody in town. And then the expenses that belong in the SSA, maybe we can come up with a 50-50 partnership again, because I do want to keep the downtown viable. And I believe the question of parking fines, we can look at that. I think we still had in place a program where we did a warning ticket. First parking ticket is free in this town. We don't want to drive people from out of town. And if somebody's from out of town, they don't appear on the list of offenders, we give them a warning first time. Any students still do that?
For the parking deck we do, but otherwise time parking violations and those types are still actual.
I would like to see us continue where we try to do it. Warnings on the first attempt from somebody out of town. For all you know, it's the person's first time to shop in town and they're going to drop $1,000 on our merchants. That's good for us. We've got to be a little bit careful. You know, we have computers nowadays, we can keep track of repeat offenders, and we have a sliding scale. Somebody who's a repeat offender doesn't pay $10. You pay a much higher. It goes up very rapidly. So I don't have a particular problem with that. But I think we should focus especially back on the question of which of these expenses really ought to be shared half and half with merchants, and which of them really benefit the general fund, and at least I'm willing to pay that general fund. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan, Hill, Dantino.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I agree. I know that Alderman Brown and Alderman Malaga mentioned about that we always seem to always go back to the most important thing under our goal setting is the downtown area. And I somewhat agree with both of their comments. I don't think that increasing track tickets is going to necessarily be a really win-win situation for the merchants. It would be nice if we could get other revenues, but I think from what I can see, you would have to somewhat increase the tax levy. But I know that Paul, you mentioned parking the boundaries for sculptors in downtown area. Everybody talks about, oh, well, how far is the downtown area going east? We kind of, in our minds, in beautification when we set up the garden at, but citizens came to us and wanted to extend that garden onto Eastside Drive. And we felt that that was, or in our minds, it could have said, okay, that was the end of the downtown area. Not that it couldn't extend all the way to Kirk, but in our minds, we thought that that was something that we could include in the downtown. When we do beautification, we always do everything in the downtown area. We strive for it. It's not a private property. It's all public property. And we kind of float around here. When you were mentioning about the parking lots, well, we take care of two parking lots, in essence, two landscapes. I mean, we can, in essence, take care of that parking lot. And we mostly, when we're out there planting them in spring and fall and summer, we clean up the parking lots. I know that snow removal is something that I think should remain as a service to the downtown merchants. Whether we should subsidize that or not, I think if we feel that we're like Mr. Casper said, invite people to come to downtown. So if we invite somebody to come down, if you invite somebody, your guest, at your home, you're going to shovel your snow before you have to come over anyway. So we should subsidize, I think, a portion of the SSA. I guess in years past, we didn't put some of the items that are public works that were budgeted. We've kind of thrown that those items that public works would in their budget would have assumed, but we kind of throw that into that 300 plus.
Actually, Dorothy, a lot of that was being picked up in the TIF fund.
Oh, okay, that was where the TIF.
And when that TIF fund got retired, there was no place to code it to, so our public works just absorbed those costs.
I didn't understand that, so I didn't know how the tie between the public works and the TIF was. So, I think that we should widen our boundaries, somewhat increase the tax levy, although on the other side of me, I feel that already the economy is already wreaking havoc with the property owners, I'm sure, and they have to be, I don't know if they make certain calculations or terms or whatever the case may be, so whether they can absorb this cost, I really don't know, but that's the other part of me that's kind of weighing whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I think that we're going to capture some increase by some. I think that's all I have on my.
Alderman Hill, Dantino.
Thank you, Mayor. I think the parking fines should be increased to a level that would be fair, but help to fund the SSAs. I think that Alderman Marks is correct in extending the bond, where we have to do it, I don't mention in the finances, but I know he does, and I'll follow along with his suggestion. Beautification, I believe, can be accomplished voluntarily. The flowers will be probably increasing in price, but I believe this past year you probably had more volunteer contribution to flowers and effort than ever before. Am I correct there, Alderman Flanagan?
True, but you can't rely on, if the core committee goes away, or if this breaks up within a couple of years and we don't, and the volunteers get exhausted or whatever the case may be, you have a threat that this may not continue on. I mean, I'm hopeful that it'll continue on forever. But you know what I'm saying is the committee was never set up to do fundraising. That was never the intent of the committee, and we do it. because we have to do it in order to get the revenue. But you have to understand that if somebody tried to put a cost down with volunteers, the three plantings, it's something, it was in the hundred thousands. If you had a group of people up here, so it is valuable, and it seems to be a small pittance of money to get the results that we do, so that's.
But it's appreciated, as Alderman Brown had suggested, and I think it does help our downtown area. I'd like to ask a question of Mr. Casper. Do you know if any of the downtown merchants during the spring, summer, and fall sweep the sidewalks in front of their stores, or do they just let them go and let the wind take care?
Some people sweep them every day. Some people don't. That's just like shoveling snow.
Yes, that's what concerns me. I think you'd have more people not shoveling snow than shoveling snow. And I know I was called out to help a merchant last year, situation where he thought that the city had barricaded his sidewalk in front of his business by plowing the snow too high. And we took care of that personally. But I think that we do have to include snow removal on the sidewalks. Our downtown is in competition with the Geneva Commons and the other downtown areas, and I believe most of the downtown areas in our surrounding area do remove the snow. At least the cities, I believe, do it for their downtown merchants, and I think we ought to continue to do that. Then, last but not least, I think we need to increase the tax. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Alderman Dantino.
What was the last thing you said increasing?
Increase that.
The levy.
Levy. Okay.
Yeah. I believe he said he wants an increase of $2. Is that correct?
$2.
The $70,000 that you're talking about on the parking, where does that go now?
All of the parking fees collected go into the general fund.
Okay, so in essence, we're just moving money from one pocket to another. So in my mind, if you look at, and I believe a 50-50 partnership that Alderman Brown suggested is good in my mind. So if you're looking at that, if you take that $70,000, you are pretty close to 50-50 partnership. Although now the general fund is worth $70,000, so. You're just playing with me mentally as far as I'm concerned.
Welcome to the city council.
But Alderman, right now, we're contributing approximately $100,000 from the general fund to the SSA.
Okay, so now you only have to contribute 30.
Correct. Well, if we stay at that same level, I wasn't planning on staying at that same level, so that's the budget.
That $100,000, as we talked about, actually, you're actually closer to $200,000.
Well, when you include the buried funds in the public works line, I was, yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right. I would not be in favor of suspending the snow removal parking fine. I guess I could go either way on that, but I think you're just talking about the same money. It's just how you're allocating, how you're deciding where these funds come from. To actually decide, and you have to really decide where, what you want. If the 50-50 is something that everybody agrees to, which I do, then, you know, if you move the parking over, then you actually have it. Now you're still short $70,000 anyway you look at it.
Well, I guess my question would be, when you're saying 50-50, are you talking about 50-50?
Yeah, $300,000.
For the essential and the non-essential items. Because those non-essential items are limited.
40.
It's 321.
Yeah, 46.
Limited to 10%.
120 plus thousand.
Of the real estate taxes and the parking fines generally.
They're supposed to be limited to 10%.
I'll tell you, the history of this is legendary. I mean, this would be a great show on WTTW. What was the history of the SSA number one in Geneva? And we were all going along swimmingly since 1979, and then that big thing on Aranda Road came along, and we all said as a council, we need to invest some of the monies generated from the commons, support our downtown, and it just blossomed. And to Mr. Brown's point, you're right, we're all responsible for that. There's no question about it. And as you recall, the vote on snow removal was not a unanimous vote by this council. In fact, there was one downtown merchant who served in the council who voted no, who said this is irresponsible use of city funds. If you own a downtown bank, bakery, or God knows what, you should shovel that snow. That's indolence. I refuse to pay for it through general fund money. So it was a great debate. But here we are some years later thinking, you know, nobody wants to make the tough calls. Like, oh, hell, what the hell do we do now? Either raise the rate, cut the services, combination of both. But Alderman Brown's absolutely correct. We're ultimately responsible. We're the stewards of the public money, and we've invested this money accordingly.
Did you not promise we would put Chamber of Commerce money down into downtown?
Yes, we did.
So the extra above the 50-50 split could easily be argued as coming from Chamber of Commerce.
Well, we could argue it's coming from West Chicago. We wanted to. What the hell? It's just a matter of semantics. I mean, you know, I agree with you, Chuck. I really do. But that's why the debate's being had tonight. I think it's, you know, we're all big boys and girls. We could take it.
Does anybody know what kind of if there are hardships downtown, if people have had to reduce their rents, does anybody know if this would create additional hardships?
Do you want to defer to the chairman, Mr. Lieben? Mr. Lieben, you want to answer that question? There are significant hardships.
Well, it's a dilemma for everybody. It's a dilemma for this council because you have to have a brief, you have so much money coming in, you have a cost, and somehow it has to all work out at the end of the cycle of paying out your bills. So that's a dilemma. Same thing with the building owners downtown. And I think you have to separate the building owners and the people that are retailers, because there are some that are the same, but there are many that are not with all the new construction. And we have a lot of new construction out there where people are no longer leasing that new construction. All of these people don't have tax bases coming in. They got to pay their mortgage whether the rent's coming in or not. That is a real dilemma. You look at the empty place downtown. I know that there are retailers, we know from the chamber, that there are people that own buildings that to try and keep the businesses going, they say, well, pay me next month and pay me next month until it got 8 months later and no rent's been paid and they have to move the people out of there, but they're still stuck for the mortgage and maybe we'll have to give up the building. So there are a lot of issues here when you really look at individuals and start to see how they struggle. And we know that retailers are struggling. I mean, retailers are going to probably continue to struggle. We don't know what this season is going to be like. We hope the house walk we know is going to be great. We hope that we're going to do great retail sales, but we know the internet is taking away and people are struggling to keep their doors open. So anything we can do to make it easier, shoveling snow to get people downtown. You know, when there's an inch of snow, it's really not an issue. People can get out there and shovel. Problem is, when you get 4 or 5 inches of snow, and then the trucks that come by and clear out the roads, you've got mounds that are out there that can be as high as 2 to 3 feet, and then where do you go with the snow? And you can't make a pathway to some of those ice mounds that are out there. So there are some issues where it's not quite as simple to solve the problem. And maybe one of the things is to say, with 2 inches of snow, we're going to get people to do it, but when the snow gets really large, we have to get it. I don't know what those are. But we do know from working with downtown merchants, because some stores are not rented, others are rented. Some people, the older people running their shop, that you're never going to get everybody together. They're all independent business people. So we're going to have the downtown and it's looking nice. Whatever it costs when it comes to the tax, we've got to do it as a town. Clear the streets so the people know they're welcome, and then maybe there's a cost to do that and figure out where the best place to get it from. But, you know, I think the retailers do share. You've got to remember we get tax revenue from those retailers. So there is something that's back, hopefully, to the general fund.
Mr. Dantino?
Well, thank you.
I'm going to recognize Alderman Vogelsberger, then I'm going to turn the floor back over to the Vice Chair of GDP, and then I know there's some aldermen who want to speak again. So, Alderman Vogelsberger?
Thank you. It is hard. I mean, I was just thinking that when you had, you know, the difference of just a few years ago when the economy was great and all these decisions were so much easier. And now every decision we're faced with is so hard because just like the merchants, the city is going to have money, we're, you know, we have to do more with less also. But the great thing about the downtown is it's so unique and it is not uniform, all the services and the stores and that. But that's also our detriment of the downtown is we can't get uniform hours, we can't get uniform days, and we know we're not going to get uniform snow shoveling. I mean, I do believe that if somebody takes every Monday off, somebody is not going to shovel the snow. Maybe some stores live for great neighbors and do it, but others won't. And whereas beautification, I think it's completely important. It's not time sensitive. It won't matter if somebody doesn't take care of their flowers for 3 days, and it also won't hurt the business next month. And I do think that the only way we're going to have uniform snow shoveling is if the city takes it on for the greater good of the downtown. And that's a hard thing to really say since we don't really have any money. And some different ideas were proposed, and I definitely think we should raise the levy because, as Ellen said, maybe the mass of what we can do snow plowing for will be cheaper with just a small tax levy. So I think we should do that. Anywhere we can impose more of a user fee, I'm all for, like the parking tickets. I don't think it discourages, I know people do immature things like send pennies, but that's about them. We can't legislate for the lowest denominator per person. We have to legislate, you park, you see the lot sign, you overpark, you get a ticket. That's a user fee, that's a slam dunk. And that's not imposing a fee on somebody who doesn't ask for it. So anywhere we could impose user fees like that, I think to beef up, I know it's not gonna be a lot, but it's something. So I guess my bottom line is that I will be in favor of raising the levy, maybe a little bit more than what is proposed as a balance to keep the snow plowing for the good of all the downtown. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you. We have one other member of the GDP here with us tonight, Gene Gaines from Chamber of Commerce. Gene, you have anything?
Well, I don't know if you all remember the last time we went to
I do. Well, we just gave out your number, Jane.
Well, I'm sorry, I already have my number. They tried several solutions.
Yes.
Charging each merchant so much and having private people come in. Well, the only way it really works is just have the city take care of it. And to that end, I guess we would say that you have to find a way to pay for it, so maybe the levy is going to go. I think Dr. Brown made wonderful comments, and I think most of us could agree with almost everything he said. So he said it better than I did, so I would agree with most of what he had to say. I also think the snow plowing really isn't a service for the merchant. I think it's a service for the residents trying to navigate just walking up down the sidewalks. So it's a safety issue as well as aesthetic. I love the sod squad, that's why I call those guys, but it's all in the detail. And if those gentlemen were out taking care of our streets every week, every day, we certainly wouldn't look as nice as we do. So I understand we have to make some cuts. No answers, just questions.
Anything else, Mr. Lieben? I have one other comment, and that is, I joined the GDP 2 years ago, and I'm the chairman of the Business Improvement and Retention Committee. And I've been working with the downtown merchants trying to get a lot of things done, like business hours. And I can...
Actually, Larry, let me interrupt. Can you share with everybody the business you own downtown? So
I do not own the business. I'm the sales manager at Town and Country Gardens.
So I'm
the guy that's going
that.
Out saying, do you want to buy flowers?
Right.
To all the corporate guys that are saying no because of the economy.
No wonder you have a nervous twitch.
Yeah, but when I took on the job, and a lot of people that have been in Geneva for a long time told me it was hopeless, that I would burn out, that I couldn't get anything accomplished. I got a good bunch of people around me, and we've been making progress, very slow, but we've been making progress. But the thing of it is that the attitude of the merchants is changing, and they're more willing to cooperate, and they're more willing to do things if people talk to them. So, you know, I'm a big person. I've identified 35 different entities here in town that should be trying to work together. And I just think that there's more power in people working together. So anything you can do to work together with the merchants, you know, I mean, they're out there, they're listening now. They may not agree with you, but they're listening. When I started, they weren't listening, period. You know, so just information for you on that. You know, things are different.
Thank you. Round two for the members of the committee of the whole, Maladra, Marx, and Piper, and then Brown.
I'd love to make a comment on the statement that we, as a city council, are over budget, or we, as a city council, are responsible. It's a partnership. I alluded to that earlier. It's a partnership in every sense of the word. Everything that we've done downtown, Joshua Plaza or whatever, has been done to strengthen the downtown, which directly benefits the merchants downtown as well. So we as a whole, we as a partnership, are over budget. If you look at expense categories 1-4 is being the essentials, those that are mandated by the ordinance, we're over budget on those. The SSA brings in doesn't even cover those services. If we've added the plaza that needs to be maintained, or if we've added watering holes and flower beds that need to be maintained, now there's no budget left for that. Those things weren't done by the city council for the benefit of the city. They were done by city council at the request of, but from ideas brought forth by people on the council, off the council, everywhere. So we're all responsible for the situation that we're in, and we're all going to be responsible for digging ourselves out of the situation. That's it. Oh, wait. No, that's
all. Sorry. Your time's expired.
Somebody alluded to the downtown master plan. I just want to make a comment that hopefully we actually get to it this year. After our goal-setting workshop, I'm a little bit nervous about that. I know it's all about money. And a comment about the parking fees. I think that we do need to raise them, but I think we do need to be careful. There's already a perception out there that there's a parking problem in Geneva. So you're a person who thinks, oh, I don't want to go downtown because I never find a place to park. And then you think that if I park incorrectly, I'm going to get hit with a big fine. I'm really disappointed to go down there. So we have to find the breaking, you know, the point at which it makes sense. How we do that, I don't know. I think you should just, like, give my wife parking tickets and I'll buy her flowers for town. We'll be all right. That's actually the last thing. My marriage thanks you very much.
Alderman Marx, Piper, Brown.
The only comment I wanted to make is I don't think that the district should fund itself totally. I think there should be a partnership, but I think the two comes in there. I mean, there has to be an equilibrium in there. It's 50-50 fine as a partnership. 2-1, we all do benefit from that. We all benefit from a lot of other things in the city too. We benefit from our SSA, we can have a little lawnmower and stuff too that comes directly out of those subdivisions where that is. I don't think the business owners should cover 100% of downtown because I do think we can benefit from it. I think 2-1 is a little too much, but 50-50 should be. We just need to find the equilibrium where what they really want is customers. What they're working is more important. I'm not going to say that the city should put nothing into downtown. No, I think that is an area and it's a destination for people in the city. But it does need and has a responsibility to help those business owners. However, I don't know if 2-1 is the right mix, is what I'm really going at. And I just tried to toss out some other ways of trying to raise some funds out there. I don't know if double is the right amount. I don't know. But I think it's worth looking at because if we raise the rates, I will measure everything down to pretty much net lease. It's going to go right back onto the merchants, any increase that we pass on the levy. It's going to go right back to the merchants. And so we've just got to find this equilibrium somewhere of what services they truly believe they need, want, and what will be really spent. And there's a middle road there somewhere. It's just going to be very hard to find in a short period of time, is the problem. I mean, we're going to need to increase the levy. What that answer is, I don't know what the exact dollar amount is, but I don't think we should keep putting in 2-to-1 ratios on a going on an ongoing basis for the city. That's all I have to say.
Piper, Brown, Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've heard a lot of different suggestions tonight, and of course, I just tried to open with the question, what would it cost? Just out of curiosity, if it was to be paid for. I don't necessarily feel that should be paid for 100% by the downtown, but I guess what I'm hearing tonight after we sit here is what's essential. It seems to me 1 through 7 is essential. Everybody's got an argument for every point that we would be willing to cut. So maybe we need to just, you know, preserve the fact that, hey, you know what, we're dealing with $320,000. So my question, Paul, to you would be then, how do we make, I guess it's a council first to even decide, is this a 50-50 split? Is it a 60-40, is it a 70-30? What do we want to do? And then say, what does the rate got to be to get there? Because it seems to me, you know, nobody wants to take the store rule off, nobody wants to take beautification, and I can see the benefits to all of those things. What we can debate what the causes of are, but quite frankly, I see the benefits. But that, I think that's a big question for the room. What kind of splits do we want to have with the downtown? How much are we benefiting? How much are they willing to put in? I don't know. And that's something I think we need to take a look and discuss a little bit further. It definitely needs to be increased. What that number's got to be is going to depend on our split. If we're going to deal with 320, then let's just, fine, we're dealing with 320. That's what I'm saying.
But keep in mind, while obviously the debate has been circuitous at best, the question on the floor is to approve the recommendation staff has advanced, which includes increasing to 20 mil and elimination of 6 and 7. So if we're to continue and or adopt any other plan, we'll have to have a revocation of the motion in a second and or an amendment of the motion.
And we've got 29, you said?
Well,
we've got to put something forward on Monday, some sort of increase, correct?
Why Monday, Mary?
Well, it has to be formally approved. I suppose we could.
We could do special city council. We could do special city council.
But it has to be filed at the county by no later than the 29th.
Correct.
But we could do a special.
Absolutely.
Council meeting.
That's why I said earlier that my sense is this is the beginning of the discussion. I actually expected a tighter debate. But I think what we're witnessing here is a civics class, that everyone has their own piece of the pie that's valuable, and that's great. And now we're airing it out, which is wonderful. So,
well, it's the most vital point of the city. So I think everybody's willing to at least spend a little bit. How do we get there, and what can we all live with?
Right. I want to ask the city administrator to comment on a budget comment.
I just wanted to make a couple of points. As you know, and as you recall, we took a tough look at the budget this past year, and we cut the general fund by 20%. This fund was not cut by 20%. If we're looking at general fund services, whether it's a street maintenance person or a police officer or a CSO, if we need to make more cuts, those services aren't going to happen, even if it's in the budget, even if you fund the SSA and we have to cut somewhere else, because we're not cutting 20% out of this budget as we cut already 20% out of the general fund budget. I don't know what this year is going to bring. We're just now starting to crunch numbers. I don't have any indicators yet from the Illinois Municipal League as far as motor fuel tax, income tax. Last year, you know, we dropped our sales tax revenues by 15%, and we're pretty much right on target. So good thing we did that. So we have all of those projections yet to do over the next 5 months. But my point is, if this stays, the funding level stays the same as it is, we've already cut 20% out of the general fund, and it's the general fund services that take care of this for the most part. then putting it in the budget isn't necessarily going to make sure that the maintenance happens. Because if we have to cut more out of the general fund, there aren't going to be those people there. And that's what I said this past spring. We may still have the same services, leaf pickup, someone going to fix a bee box in the front yard, but it may take us a lot longer because we cut 20% out of our general fund, and everyone was happy when we cut 20%. But it takes us longer to pick up those leaves, and it takes us longer to get that bee box built, fixed. But nobody makes that connection between the two, and there is a connection between the two. You can take out of the general fund to subsidize this or any other fund, but if we need to make more cuts out of the general fund, then you're going to see a ripple effect. I just wanted to bring that up to everybody, just to remind you that the general fund subsidizes this more than
just one. I think we're all agreed that we'd like to get away from the 2-to-1. So if we can get to, say, a 60-40 split, or whatever the number may be, shouldn't that reduce what's coming out of the general fund? Because
yes,
it will be increasing the tax level.
Yes, overall, yes.
Overall, we should be in better shape because it will be cutting this budget. We'll just be deciding long-term how to do that. And still trying to keep this number. That may take the tax levy and a higher increase sooner. I don't know, I mean, depending on what numbers we're dealing with, but it should decrease by taking out the general fund budget.
And this is really the first time that we've ever taken an in-depth look,
exactly,
to really see what the budget is. Because that $114,000 really got buried in Public Works, and they just absorbed that into their operating fund. You know, until Paul and Ellen started really digging into this, no one really understood that was happening. So there were a lot of hidden costs to it. So,
Mr. Piper still has the floor. Okay. Ellen, do you want to add something for our benefit?
I just want to make a comment. I think the discussion was, I think the discussion has been really great, and I just want to point out, and don't shoot the messenger, that we've only got to the first of the three issues we wanted the council the GDP to discuss, and that's the appropriate level of transfer. Now, I think we are settling on a 50-50 ratio, but...
No.
We're moving towards...
We haven't debated that yet.
There's no leading the witnesses here, Ellen.
There's a maintenance... We've also suggested we need a maintenance capital fund in the future. I know that this economy depends on saving reserves, but we also need a future parking capital reserve fund. I just think it might be appropriate if Cam Roviak talk a little bit with all the...
Well, that's my fault, because what I heard you say originally was that the fee in lieu of parking discussion is for another day, but it's part of the overall approach. Tonight's really on the levy.
That's the only decision we need.
Exactly. So I would respectfully, and believe me, I'd love to hear what Ms. Broviak has to say. However, I'll defer to the committee and the GDP whether it's really germane based on the discussion we've had tonight.
That's fine if you want to defer it. We thought we would probably be talking about this well into next year as well. It is just the levy rate that has
correct
to be set this month.
Because there are all sorts of other emotions relative to that fee in lieu of parking. I mean, you said it best, because there are new buildings, is I think a direct result that we put the moratorium in place.
Yeah, the fee in lieu of parking isn't what I was hoping to get a little bit of discussion on. It's the long-term maintenance of our lots. And looked at the maintenance over the past 10 years and came up with that $114,000, which she feels is necessary to really maintain the assets that we own, which are these parking lots. And we've just been throwing in what's been left over from the budget. So I just want to point that out. You know, we're fine for the next few years. The budget last year, when we did this fund, it was like, okay, here's the top 10 needs. How many can we afford?
Right.
And, you know, we just drew a line after a certain dollar amount.
Much like our street program.
Yeah, Dan is nodding his head. Yeah. So I just want to point that out so it doesn't get lost.
Right.
That we've been looking at this $321,000, but that's for what was funded in this one fiscal year, this one frozen snapshot in time. And then in the future, we have to consider long-term maintenance.
Well,
what she's saying is we're not addressing, kind of like our road program.
Right.
We're currently doing a $1 million per year program. We were, you know, based on sales tax increase that we did, we were anticipating a $2 million plus year program to try to stay up with the roads. We've got the same situation with parking lots. Right now, we're putting $30,000 at the most towards maintenance of all of the parking lots in the SSA. That's not enough to maintain the parking lot. There's going to be a large nut to crack when you got to redo an entire parking lot that costs $100,000 plus. Now you got to find the money for that. What we're talking about is creating a fund to start putting that money aside so we can make those improvements when needed and not let the parking lots fall apart to a point where you get, you're getting complaints because you got potholes and all the other things.
And that's why I lost ground. I think staff was wondering the snow removal. I like Alderman Brown's concept of pushing into the general fund, just acknowledging it's what we've been doing. You know, we've been subsidizing it out of the general fund anyways. It just makes it a more formal policy. But that was why we thought it might be worthwhile to look into an extra SSA for just the snow removal, knowing that this SSA was set up for free parking. And everything we're doing is above and beyond the original plan.
Again, discussion probably for another night, but my gut tells me that property owners and the citizens at large would rather see one SSA that's expanded by definition than to have, what the hell's this other tax for? And then it becomes just more convoluted and obfuscated and everything else. It's like, oh, and to Mr. Dantino, then you're just playing with my mind.
So. Yeah,
all night. Mr. Piper, anything else?
No. Just rough numbers, at a 60-40 split, the downtown have to put in about $196,000. And the city would be putting in $128,000, so we're going to be down, what is that, $84,000 we're going to put in now?
But, Papa, really, if you look at $114,000 compared to the $87,000 that we're using for parking lot, you're looking more at a $350,000 budget. If they put in the maintenance of the parking lots that they
adjust it however you want. Yeah. I mean, we're rough numbers
really
out
at 350 for all of
but it's stores. I guess my point is it takes that tax levy to just over 0.3 and then you're funded for everything that everybody wants and yet the city is able to drop what we're putting in, correct?
That's what that tax levy, you talked about $124,000, that's $70,000 from parking.
Oh, from parking.
And that gives us $194,996 of the $321,000. So that's like a 60%. You know,
okay.
It still requires the city, you know, a general fund contribution of, I think it's around $70,000. And again, that was $321,000.
And the moving parking back and forth, I haven't brought this. Let's just, you can call it whatever you want. I think we're already. Okay.
Dr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Despite what all of the planners said, most of us have always known that there was some public works money that was funded out of public works that went into downtown. I have never had any problem. I don't think most council members had a problem with that. This whole method of funding bothers me. We talk about levy, we talk about essential versus non-essential. We're asking for money here. Somebody is saying they're asking for $15,799 of beautification. Where did that number come from? The council's being asked to approve, we have a motion on the table that includes $17,700 to the nearest dollar out of $16,000. Could you go back to the previous page? That service, I can believe, is a number we know. Parking lot maintenance, is that one-third? We've had to cut our road maintenance. Is that parking lot maintenance one-third of what we're putting into the parking lot? No, that's not one-third of what I heard the engineer say we need. Why can we cut our roads back to a third and not cut back the parking lot maintenance to a third? We're in tough times. The merchants are in tough times. Where did that number come from? Again, it's a number, you know, quoted to a nearest dollar out of $57,000. Where did the number come from? The council should be making the decision as to what fraction of that requested number. The engineer tells us she needs over $100,000. The council should say, look, we're in trouble. We're cutting our road back program back to a third. Let's cut our parking lot maintenance to back to a third. We know exactly what we're doing. We're putting off the expenses for future day, but we're trying to set a budget for next year. Let's cut that back. Let's not accept somebody's number, which is a nonsense number. administrative services. Is there a way we can cut that back? I don't know where the number came from, but that sounds like an awful lot to me.
But these are actual expenses. The city of Geneva, the city council.
Is this expenses for next year or is this?
No. '08, '09.
Why is there a motion on the table that involves the sum of all these numbers, which are expenses from last year?
The motion on the table is to consider increasing the levy to 20 per mil.
Let's not talk levy. Let's talk money. We're assessing money against the merchants downtown. Let's not talk levy numbers. This is the way politicians usually confuse everybody and confuse themselves. We are asking people downtown to give us a certain fraction of a budget. First, I want to know the budget. First, I want us to look at the budget and debate the budget. I want an explanation of why we decided to put 75% of what the engineer asked for in the parking lot when we're not doing that for our roads. Why haven't we decided that some of these other expenses can't be put off? Why haven't we decided, listen, beautification, the people who do beautification downtown, beautification was asked for by Public Works. The council agreed to put the knuckles in. Alderman Dakota came forward and said, don't worry, Public Works can put them in, supply the dirt, I'll find a way to get the flowers in. The people who work on those think they're doing it to beautify the city. They don't think they're doing it to help the downtown merchants. I believe all the beautification expenses should be on the general account, general operations budget, not on the special services.
But I think, Dr.
Those
Brown,
are the things we haven't even debated yet.
That's true, and guess what? We will have umpteen times to do so when the budget process begins for 09-10.
To raise a certain amount of money from the downtown merchants before we've decided the underlying questions.
I believe the underlying questions have been addressed, perhaps not to the comfort of everybody. And if that's the case, then we'll start anew. I mean, I have nothing to do tonight. But Ellen, do you want to chime in on a couple of the comments? Because I saw you know.
Before, if you don't mind.
No, that's true.
The downtown merchants are in as deep a trouble as the city is. We're cutting all our expenses, and we're saying we're going to do it by raising theirs. This makes no sense to me. If we're in a position to help them, we should be going through these with a fine-tooth comb and saying, is there a way we can help them too, not doubling their.
City Administrator McKittrick.
Not doubling the amount of taxes.
Administrator McKittrick said very clearly, we've cut 20% of our general fund, but right now, there's absolutely no consideration to cut 20% of this fund. That's a tough question. That's a gut check question. And in turn, in the spirit of politics.
I want to do it in terms of levy. I want to do it in terms of the sum of the money we're going to be asking.
But in the spirit of politics, nobody here is willing to. Correction. It's difficult to stand up and say to the merchants, Larry, you know, it's tough out there, baby, but tough break. Because we're all human. We want everyone to like us. We want everyone to like the city council. We want the downtown to be beautiful. Nobody here disagrees with that. But the reality is, things are difficult. We're hired to make difficult decisions. If the decision by this council is 50-50, 60-40, don't touch it, I don't want to deal with it, so be it. But that's up to us as policymakers. So.
But you're talking 50-50 and 40-60 on numbers that we haven't even decided whether they make sense. I believe we should be cutting back on the parking lot maintenance like we have done on our street maintenance because times are tough. I don't think we should be asking the merchants to pony up more money because we're not willing to cut back on the parking lot maintenance. That makes no sense.
Well, here's my concern. When you state that the numbers being presented tonight make no sense, you give little credence to the staff that put those numbers together. So what I would like to ask is our dear friend, the city engineer, Ms. Broviak, to explain that number of 114.
Excuse me, Mayor.
No, 87. Oh, excuse me, 87.
Excuse me.
Pam, come on up. Yeah, all yours.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's perhaps a wise exercise if we look at debt service, parking lot maintenance, administrative services, as what the actual costs were for 2008 and 2009. We don't know what's being projected for 2009, 2010, correct?
Well,
we have actual.
We have a budget.
Right. But I think what Alderman Brown is suggesting we do is look at what the actuals were and identify what could we have cut. And the actual cost. Is that correct, Alderman?
Except for one correction, I would rather go back to 2000, 2001, 2002, when it was a 50-50 split. All of a sudden, it increased by a large amount of beautification expenses that are now partly on the promise of the mayor and his council. We would transfer some tax funds from the commons to downtown to help the downtown motto. That increased the expenses in this fund, okay? Now, you're arguing, well, we should transfer those expenses back to the downtown merchants, which I don't accept. he should be asking, what was the amount of money being spent back before it made this large increase in the amount of beautification expenses? Those expenses were voted for by the council. They were not asked for by the downtown merchants.
But if we back out the beautification expenses, all right, because if it's apparent that we pulled it off this year, we're going to have to do it again next year. And apparently in our beautification expenditure, we don't know exactly how that money is being spent. Dorothy told us she spent $50,000, but it was out of her own pocket. We have $50,000, and it was bike racks or something.
No, come on. Public Works puts effort into downtown.
Well, exactly, but we don't have
effort to start mowing the lawns.
We don't have an itemization. We don't have an itemization as to how that number was arrived at.
I mean, that's... But it's silly to think that we don't know that money's being spent. My gosh, the Public Works works down there. You see the trucks there all the time. They look after it down there. It looks nice. Of course there's expenses.
Of course, but we don't know what the actual expenditure is for us to make an educated, intelligent decision as to, well, how much of that are we going to cut? It wouldn't be fair for us to say to Public Works, $15,000, cut in half.
What did we spend last year? That's a good question. We should be spending less this year by at least 20%.
That's what the cost was, though.
Well, we should be spending less by 20% because we're doing that on all our other services.
Correct.
Why do we not cut this particular service by 20%?
That was the question Administrator McKittrick asked.
Well, we did. See, I don't understand why we assume we didn't. We have department heads here that have been charged with cutting budget everywhere. As a matter of fact, I'm getting tired of being told that the department heads are ignorant, and I'm told a wool over our eyes, and that everyone in this room is a politician trying to confuse the issue. That's
false. Cut it, and now you just said we didn't, which is correct. You said that was the expense for last year.
The SSA budget, we did not cut.
Right, okay, you just said we did, so I'm confused.
We funded twice what the SSA did. All of the stuff that's funded by the general fund has been considered in the 20% cuts. That's also the majority of the stuff we're talking about tonight. SSA doesn't even cover half of the essential expenses.
Isn't the $15,000 what the Public Works spent last year, even though it wasn't credited against the SSA?
The $114,000 came out of operation funds from the Public Works Department budget.
Right.
Correct. And then about $100,000 came from the SSA number one levy, and then about $100,000 came out of the general fund transferred to the SSA one.
But the $15,000, was that what was spent? Public Works estimated to spend out of their budget last year on the... That's the number we're
arguing with. The $15,000 that was up there for beautification, right, was an 08-09 expense that was charged to that SSA.
Right. And you put it down again without cutting it by 20%.
No, we did actually cut that out. We cut, remember there was quite a debate on the beautification, about 45 minutes worth of debate, $5,000 I think got removed from the SSA number one when we were going through the budget process.
It was decreased by
30%.
And five.
It's hard to be relevant when we have a $100,000 problem, right? And that's what you're trying to tell us.
I was trying to tell you last spring that the SSA levy does not cover all of the expenses. I didn't know how short it was until Ellen and Paul started digging in and found the operational budgets actually subsidized in addition to the general fund. So it's actually worse than what I presented this spring.
Yeah,
you've
known that'd be a long time.
Well, I didn't.
Especially
other staff.
All the beautification earlier this decade. Now, the question is that beautification legitimately applied to the merchants or not? And it was the council that did not, not the merchants that never asked for it.
But the merchants won't even shovel their walks. They won't ask for anything, Chuck. What we did for the downtown, period.
We, the citizens, did it for the downtown.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, but the downtown merchants benefit from it. If you ask the merchants, do you want a nice sidewalk that you're not even going to shovel? What kind of answer do you think you're going to get?
I know what answer. I just say it's all fair in this case. We're cutting back everywhere else in the city, and we're asking to pile more expenses under the merchants by increasing the amount of taxes we're asking from them. Forget about levies. we're asking them to pay more taxes next year, we're cutting back everywhere else. And we're certainly not asking the rest of the city to pay more taxes.
Yes, we are. We passed a budget, yeah, we supported a budget that actually increased
the same amount.
Well, no, of course not by the same amount.
We're asking to increase the levy by a large factor.
And if we do that, they still get the same amount of services.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Should we not be cutting back somewhat on the services they're getting, as well as cutting back on the services of everywhere else in town?
Well, it looks like we discussed that earlier.
Keep in mind, folks, the motion on the floor is to exactly do that. Eliminate, suspend 6 and 7, keep the essentials, increase the levy slash money to 20 mil. So that's $20 million in revenue.
We see how much time we spend on senior housing, because we identify that as the most...
That is not germane, however interesting, but that'll be for another discussion. Yeah, Mark's going to blow a stop over here. He has a nice clean white shirt on, too. Dr. Brown still has the floor, so...
Sorry.
And Mr. Hill, Dantino, Pollack.
I've got a couple of things. I'm disappointed in the fact that so few members of the Downtown Partnership Committee are here. I think there's only one retailer represented, and that's you, Larry. And thank you for being here.
Correction? What?
Was there another one? I don't know them all. But I don't know if she was a member of the committee. No, okay. So what I think we need to do when we discuss this again is just make darn sure that we get more representation from the Downtown Partnership Committee.
They were invited.
I know they were invited. But then I think we've got to invite them a little bit more strongly and help them part. So the other thing I do want to suggest is that I'll shove you the wall. I did that last year for one.
You two are not allowed to sit next to each other.
But I do want to make an amendment to the motion.
It's your privilege.
The motion states that we are going to eliminate number 6 and 7.
Suspend, correct.
Suspend. I would like to suggest that we suspend only number 7.
Which is the beautification expenses?
Right.
There's an amendment offered by Mr. Hill on the floor, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. On the amendment, absolutely.
So are you going to also amend the tax rate?
Is that part of the motion, the original motion?
The original motion included the increase of the levy to 20 cents. Then 25, then 30.
But I think we should do the math to find out how we're going to get to the number. I mean, 20, 25 might not be enough. We might have to go right to 30.
45
is not
30. Well,
so might as well.
I want to get number 6 back on the list of the unsuspended categories.
Dan, can you put number 6 back up so we can see the details? $31,000.
Yeah, it includes the labor and equipment needed to remove snow and spread salt from the assigned walkways and dump them to St. Charles.
Why don't we put a number up and work back to figure out how we're going to get to it as opposed to doing a piece of that?
We're speaking of the amendment, so. Again, if we want to take a vote on the amendment and it fails, so be it. Otherwise, the motioner or seconder can withdraw.
So how much does that make this whole
thing? Now, how many dollars?
It removes, $16,000 from the budget. Still, the nut's not covered. We know that.
No.
Yeah, we're
what's the total numbers we're dealing with? You said it was 340. 350. Because it's gone up from the time I got set down.
That was the parking.
Sorry. The total cost that we're keeping current is 320. Okay. That was from that unit. So we're using that as a basically as a base with all the services in it. You know, it's going to have some variances bonds retire and we're dead and other costs, you know, including that one-time cost that you, we're doing rehab. Previous year, we didn't have any rehab expenses, so, you know, it's going to vary. I think one day we're asking the council to consider right now is $321,000, which is everything. And again, that's a budget consideration going back to tonight. It's just a levy discussion. It does affect the final budget number, because we have to get this number in for the county. You have to get some students down. But you're going to, as the mayor pointed out, you're going to have plenty of time to go back and look at the budget and determine, is snow removal in? Is streetscape in? Is what are we spending on streetscape? All those different things will come as part of the budget process.
So,
321 is the magic.
321 is the number. Let's work it down now. Let's work it down to an amount that we're comfortable with on a percentage basis, whether it's 50, 50, 60, 40, I don't care. But let's work, do the math backwards and arrive at that number.
The exact number is 321.632.
Well, we're still speaking of the amendment, folks.
Correct. The second amendment is only for the beautification.
And the seconder cannot withdraw her motion unless the primary motioner does.
No, I didn't want to withdraw. I wanted to speak to the just the amendment. Change.
Mr. Pollock, anything else? Why the hell did I recognize you anyways?
Yeah.
Let the record show Dantino's allowed.
Call the question.
Inappropriate request. Yes.
The question, the amendment, that's what happened. Could you repeat the amendment so we know?
The amendment offered by Mr. Hill and seconded by Ms. Vogelsberg is to include
to suspend
only item number 7 on the chart on page 4 of 7 of your handout and not number 6.
And that's the beautification.
That's correct.
And that amount is
16 grand.
I just wanted to add a point of clarification. The items that you're talking about right now are budget items. It's not levy items. The levy that we're speaking to, we're asking you to focus on tonight is either a mill rate of 16.7 at an approximate dollar amount of about $104,000, or if you increase that to a mill rate of 0.0020, then we will collect about $124,000. Or if you increase the mill rate, the tax levy, to 0.0025, then we will collect about $155,000. Or if you increase it to 0.0030, then we will collect, through the levy, $186,000. That's the question. What gets taken out? What else gets added in? That's budget. Debt comes afterwards. We have to look at whatever the levy amount, the dollar amount is that you decide on, which is based on the rate, and then we have to make up for whatever else you want to do with general fund dollars.
So they're going to tax amendment. Sam's amendment's tax
amendment. I'll move.
Sam's amendment's germane.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the levy, though.
Correct.
Right.
It has to do with the budget.
But that's not what Mary said we need to do right now. We need to consider what we're doing with the levy.
That's correct.
But, no, I feel like Ralph now. Hold on, I got to like.
The budget comes after we.
Yeah, just like we did on the city's budget when we approved the levy for next year, we anticipate an extra $50,000 or $60,000. We don't know that magic number yet. Once we get the number, then we'll massage it accordingly. I believe, and I'll defer to the city attorney, Mr. Hill's amendment's appropriate because it addresses the chart on page 4 of 7 that says, you know what, let's eliminate this element. The levy remains the same. We're just eliminating one of the elements of the.
But if he's saying leave the levy the same, then I would make a friendly amendment to the amendment.
Now the motion on the floor presently is the recommendation made by staff.
Right.
And the amendment modifies that recommendation by removing the beautification expense portion, i.e.
$16,000. And then I can I make a minute to add to the. I want to. It's okay to discuss and see if they can include something into their vendors.
I want to talk.
I don't want you to talk. Yeah, the recommendation's behind me. 35 font. That's the recommendation, Mr. Paul.
Sam, what were you going to say?
Nothing.
We have rendered Mr. Hill mute, which makes you the parade marshal for this year in Sweden.
Well, let me ask a question.
Sure.
It makes sense to me that the what's being recommended isn't enough, as we sit here, that it needs to go to the 0.0030. We have to get it. You know, of course it's going to be hard on the merchants, but it's equally as hard on us. This is not an easy decision. We're going to have to somehow pull this off. How we do it is going to be painful. There's no doubt about it.
Well, we can leave it, we can raise it to the double, but we will not be able to provide the things that we've been providing.
Well, that's why I'm saying, I think we need to, what we need to do is we need to go, forget it. 2-0. Go right to 3-0.
Exactly, but I'm saying if we left it at 2-0, that's fine. It would be, it's less impact.
Then fail the amendment.
But we can't provide.
I don't want to change it either. I don't want to change our motion. So if you don't like it, fail it. You know what I'm saying? Like because I feel like it's so confusing right now. So
I think we put the cart in front before we raise the amendment.
Well, but I guess, I mean, in the discussion of the amendment, I was just going to say that to keep item 6, I would like to take the money out. I like the staff's recommendation exactly as it is, except, which I don't hit my computer's dead, but except that I would keep the snow removal and take that same exact amount, which I know Mary said, we're not talking about the budget, out of the streetscape maintenance, which is the maintenance, but also adding more items, which I think we get a bigger bang for our buck and the streets plow, or the sidewalks. So I think that, I guess that's what's, but that's probably it.
But this is on the amendment. Mr. Dantino, actually, you have the floor, and then it's Marks and Flanagan.
My comments are going to be prior to this amendment, but can I still make them?
No.
Technically, no. Only to the amendment. To the amendment, Richard?
Yeah, I thought the original proposal was only talking about the levy, not talking about those items. It's just the original amendment.
Is.
The original item that we're voting on was just consider adjustment of the SSA number 1 tax levy, not all the recommendations on it. And so I'm really confused about what the
amendment
is. No, our one is the amendment. What I thought we were discussing all along was just the tax levy, not all of their recommendations. And now we start to get to look at all the recommendations. All the recommendations. It looks like this. I'm just looking for a clarification.
Mr. Evans? Save us from ourselves.
It is correct. Really, the most truly is the levy. What levy amount the city council is comfortable with, but the other things are in there as context. In other words, what kind of number are we talking about? We're talking about a $300,000.
What I'm getting at is the original motion didn't say that such staff's recommendation. It was a motion on the tax level. And so now we can come back.
Excuse me, only the chairman can tell us what the motion is.
Right.
And that's what I'm conferring with the city attorney as well, and the city administrator McKittrick.
We really need to
consider adjustment of SSA number 11 for a rate talk. That's what
I'm going to ask our recording secretary, Ms. Fornari, to read back the motion that was offered
at the beginning.
Yeah, about 6-7 hours ago.
The motion was to consider adjustment of SSA number 1 tax levy for fiscal year 2010-11 to a rate of 0.002 mil.
Right. And it didn't have anything else with the staff.
And who made that motion? Who seconded it?
It was made by Alderman Malagra, seconded by Alderman Hill.
Right. Then that's
But ladies and gentlemen, in deference to the chair, I can rule that these discussions are germane. I think they certainly are.
I no doubt.
Right.
No doubt.
We could say,
with all due respect, I think we go back to Craig's original motion, and after we had this great discussion, looking at how are we going to pay for up to $186,000, how are we going to get $186,000 for the SSA number one, and that's instead of 0.0020, it's 0.0030. The contribution is going to be $135,000.
If that's his original motion,
that wasn't the
original. How can he amend it if that's something that wasn't in the original motion?
No, he can't. We have to vote on the motion first. The friendly amendment to materially change the entire.
The original motion.
Yeah.
He's changed
that. No, you're right. Yeah, he's right. It's not even the original motion.
It's not. He can't.
Well, we haven't voted on the original motion.
We haven't voted on the original motion, exactly.
I understand he's made an amendment that wasn't there.
It's not germane.
Okay. Then, based on consult by the city attorney, the recording secretary, and city administrator McKittrick, then I will rule that the amendment is not germane in the second.
Okay. So, can I make an amendment? Can I have the floor?
Dantino does have the floor. The amendment's off the floor. Dantino can make his comments. And then, believe it or not, Ray, it's actually March. Do you want the floor again? Flanagan? After March. No, okay, then it'll be back to Ray. So Dantino, then Pollack. I just received a resignation letter from Larry Casper, so it's.
If you believe this thing's 50-50 or 60-40 or whatever, 70-30, 80-20, it doesn't matter. If you take $104,000 is what we were going to get at 0.1676, if we vote this totally down, that's what we're going to end up getting again?
If we keep the same rate.
If we keep the same rate.
About that.
If the $62 million comes in. Okay, so we're talking about moving it to a 0.20, which is $24,124,000. If we use either number, 104 or 120, move that $70,000 into this fund, we're now at either $175,000 or $195,000. So we're beyond 50-50. So I don't understand what I'm missing.
The one calculation is the $70,000 parking fund is considered to be revenue. Our recommendation is that's considered to be revenue for SSA 1. It's a general fund transfer, but it's collected as part of the parking account.
I understand that, but if that was part of your recommendation to move that 70, we're beyond 50% already.
But again, as we've ruled earlier, the recommendation and the motion on the floor is simply the levy. So yeah, for further discussion, we can discuss the actual elements there too. But
so the $70,000 is new money going into SSA number one.
It's a recommended budget transfer that cannot be discussed, if you will. Not budget transfer, excuse me. Transfer from general fund to the SSA. Correct?
Ralph just asked if it was new money. It's really not.
Oh, it's not new money. Yeah, so we're just moving it around.
It's coming out of general fund. You can call it the commuter parking tickets. You can call it, general fund, slush fund. Call it whatever you want. It's all coming out of the general fund.
Tag the tourism fund.
Right now, it's about $100,000. This proposal by staff is saying allocate what comes from the parking ticket fines, which were suggesting would be about $70,000, so that's a $30,000 drop. So it's still coming out of general fund.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Ralph?
No, that's
it. Mr. Do you want me to recognize Ray first, Ms. Broviak, or?
Well, I just thought that I might clarify something that might weigh in on how much to raise it to.
Come on up with the microphone, that'd be awesome. And our city engineer is joined by her husband tonight, who is regretting his decision to join her tonight.
Okay. Alderman Brown brought up, I think, a good point that actually made me look back into our records. And I think what he's asking is really important is, where does that money, what does the money actually signify, that 87,000 that was an actual expense from the last fiscal year? And in my records, based on all of our meetings, that does not even include anything to do with the actual maintenance repair of the parking lots. And I guess that was our concern in our meetings, is really nothing's been spent on the parking lots to any significance at all for their repair and maintenance. It's been just seal coating for, well, I think the last major project was the purchase and construction of, I don't remember which lot it was, but.
Siegel.
I think that was the last major construction project. So, and it's actually Attorney Ravitch that brought the point that all of this money is spent on services that were really otherwise than what the actual ordinance was created for. So that's when we came up with, well, let's come up with the actual cost. If we were going to pay to repair and maintain the lots, what would it cost? And that's where we annualized the cost to about $114,000. That $114,000 is not in this $300-some thousand. If you look back for that $80-some thousand, that's an actual expense. That's actually for snow removal in the parking lots, for labor from the street department taking care of them. It had nothing to do with repairing actual maintenance of the lots, which is what we had done. Also, when we add up the actual cost, including the parking lots, it's actually $450,000. So I thought that I would bring that up, even though it probably complicates a little bit. That was excellent that you brought that up, because it is very valid. It actually shows that it's actually an increased cost if you try to want to take that parking lot. So again, that's your decision as Alderman. We certainly tried to push off our recommendation a few years, knowing the economy's bad. So if you look at the spreadsheet in there, you'll see we tried to not do major repairs, except for Hamilton Street North, which when people look at it, it's almost gone. So that. But that's just kind of a probably more detailed explanation.
Let's focus. We have a speaker here, ladies and gentlemen, so no sidebar. That includes, of course, the city attorney and the city administrator. That's why I use the word sidebar. We should have all went to a sidebar before we came here tonight. Pam, thank you very much. And Mr. Broviak, thank you for being here too. It's, your contributions have been invaluable. Mr.
Quiet person in the room is always welcome.
Isn't that good? Mr. Pollack and Piper, according to my notes.
What I'd like to do right now is call a question on the original motion and then propose another motion.
Assuming that that motion might fail.
Assuming it might fail. And here's my logic. It's apparent that 0.0020 is not enough money. That we should probably go right to 0.003.
You're not going to make it.
Was that correct?
You're not going to make it all up in here. You're not going to get from 2-to-1 ratio to 1-to-1 ratio in a single year without breaking, killing the patient.
I'm not suggesting that. If you look at the amount of, what's the profit at
$100,000.
Well, yeah. $30,000. Craig, I don't understand where you're going with that. 16 is 104, and 130 is 186.
Page 5 of 7 of your packet, folks, is.
Come on, we want to take away as little as possible from the services we're already providing on a cost dollar basis. The amount that we would propose to raise, merchants would certainly, I think, would pay a little more. They complain about the services going to lose and potential customers that will not
address that.
That's all.
I'm going to ask Mr. Casper to comment on that. Obviously, the main motion still on the floor.
Yeah, Mr. Casper, comment.
I personally think that you know, a merchant would pay more to maintain the services. Everything costs more. We understand that.
But I think the perception of lost service has far greater impact than a small incremental rise in the tax. I don't know how you could ever recover a missed sale versus And no one wants to see the rate increase, but it's a fact of the business game. Heaven forbid we should get a lot of snow and a lot of ice, and, you know, we're not plowing their snow, and people aren't coming to town. You know, you don't want to miss a sale. I'm also very sensitive to raising taxes, but it's not like we're escalating the tax by 2 to 1. So I would ask that we perhaps vote on Mr. Malaga's motion and see where, how it all comes down and go from there. I think we've discussed this.
Well, let me recognize Mr. Leavitt, because I know he's had his hand up and...
See, I know we're talking about retailers, and I think you have to remember that a lot of people in this town that build buildings and that are giving their rents out for a period of time at a much lower rate so businesses can survive. And it's not necessarily going to get passed on to the retailer, but maybe something that the building owner has to eat. And I don't know that a lot of them aren't right at a very narrow range where they're trying to make the town work, they want to keep their space rented, they want to keep their mortgage paid. They only have so much leeway. Some of them are not making any profit because they're able to pay their mortgage with it, and they're giving the retailer a break, so maybe they can get through another 12 months. So I don't know, it's always a little bit doesn't make a lot of difference. Sometimes a little bit it makes a huge difference. Particularly when they lower rents by $100 a month or $500 a month, or I don't know what some of the empty spaces in the business they're losing on their mortgage until they get it built up. In some places, they're losing $2,500 a month because there's nobody in the space. And I think Joe, I know, is just on a basis. What would somebody has a building that is missing renters at them? What is it costing him now if he doesn't have the space filled?
Sometimes more than just the cost. There's one building downtown that it was valued at $1.8 million at one point. They only had a mortgage of $250,000. They lost their tenant that, you know, was paying rent, and that's what was paying their mortgage, and they were living on it. With no tenants, the bank called a note in due, and so now there's a possibility they're going to be foreclosed on a building that there's worth 1.8 that there's no market for. They may sell it for half that. By the time they pay capital gains and they pay off their mortgage, they're literally ruined. So some of these empty spaces are pretty dramatic at, you know, what will happen to the individuals. But we do have a lot of empty space, and most of the leases in Geneva are gross leases. So this cost is something that will be passed on to the landlord. It won't be passed on to the tenants. But with that said, I have to agree with Mr. Piper, or Mr. Frolic. A lost sale is a lot more devastating than the added expense. And if we, you know, if you don't pass the levy, and we don't have the snow taken off the sidewalk, people aren't going to come downtown. They're not going to spend. So I'm hoping that we look at what Dr. Brown was saying, and we look at where the money's coming from. But for the time being, the motion that's on the table, the levy, I really think it's important that we pass it, make the provisions to, you know, to get the money in, and then at a later date sit down and decide how it's going to be spent. But I think the money coming in is going to be very important. It is going to hurt, and it's going to hurt not all the not necessarily all the merchants. It's going to hurt mostly the landlords, because we, most of us don't have triple net leases. We have gross leases, but I have a lot of property, and I'm willing to pay my fair share. The SSA is just a cost of doing business in downtown. I think we really need this money.
Ellen, before I recognize you, Mr. Devine, you've had your hand up for a while, so if you want to join us. And it's a small room, so if you want to just,
I'll try to be brief. I've listened to this discussion like everyone else. The motion really is dealing with the levy. There was great discussion regarding the expenses associated with the SSA over the past year. We've heard in the neighborhood of, if I can use $320,000,
sure.
I think it was $321,000. City Administrator mentioned that the sharp pencil hadn't been taken to SSA 1 for a 20% reduction. You do the math, that's about $60,000. 320 minus 60,000 brings you to about 260. Amongst friends, can be rounded to 250. The 2.002 levy will give you about $125,000, which would be about 50% of that. Get us back to a 1-1 city and the merchants. That's all I had to say. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much. Helen?
A couple points I want to make. I'm going to take responsibility for some of the confusion that we have, because the committee had short-term and long-term recommendations. But the recommendation that I wrote into this memo has the levy rate plus policy, and that's where the confusion is.
Let the record show this is all but Ellen's fault.
The only thing we need to vote on is the levy, and I think it's better if we keep it simple to that right now.
Got it.
The rest becomes policy during the next budget. That said, when Alderman Brown was first talking, I wanted to double check my numbers before I spoke. And in your packet, you see the actual 2009 budget. It came right after the math. This budget was cut mid-year last year when the word came down, revenues are not coming in, go ahead and cut as much as you can. If you look on the top of this page, the original budget for the annual budget for this fund was $240,988. We ended up spending $209,900. So we did cut this fund also. We quit spending in it. Well, and there were things like the parking study wasn't done, we didn't do the Christmas a lot. So there were some things that were cut. I just want to point out this could get slashed a little bit. And I think that the point we need to make right now is just go ahead and let's look at the levy. And the question really is, how much can people bear? Our property owners really deserve credit this year. Last January, the mayor and Paul and I met with all of them. We had an exceptional turnout of over 52 people, and we asked them to consider how their tenants were doing and to work with them on their rents, and they have. There are a lot of businesses out there that are not paying full rent, and the property owners are bearing it. So that was why the staff made the recommendation for the general jump. I will point out there are only six properties in the whole SSA that are worth over $1 million. The average property is, you look at the top of page 6 out of 7. The average property is all that you can. You add them all up and you divide it by the number of properties. That is on an EAV of $131,800, getting a market value of $400,000. And so if you were to raise that, you know, fully up to 30 mil, it's 174 a month. We were recommending, you know, to just go up to the 20. And, you know, $100 a year, it's $10 a month.
Right.
To go up to the 20. So I just want to point that out. The question on the table was, how much do we think that can be borne by those that we're asking the partner to request?
Mr. Mayor, I would, obviously, I think Alderman Pollock is trying to test the sense of the council as far as what the levy rate should be. And procedurally, I would recommend that if you're seeking to see whether there's a consensus for a higher rate, do that by amendment rather than amend this motion, see whether the amendment passes, and then go back to the original. So if you're seeking—
Before you offer the amendment, though, that was clarification. I need to recognize Mr. Piper. And then I'll come back to you.
Thank you. As we've gone through this, and I see kind of where Alderman Pollock in a couple of discussions, I kind of see where he's going with this. I just have a new paper visiting here this evening that we're dealing with $321,000. If we work, it's going to be at least 30. We're going to have 186. We forget about the $70,000 for the parking, because we're just moving on. The city will add in $135,000. That's less than before. That's a 60-40 split. Here's my fear. Pam got up and just explained to us that there are things that are not included. So in the actual number, we're dealing with 450, and we're right back to where we were. Where now we're having to make up, and then we got to find another 70 or 80 grand. But we don't have to do any of this. We can stick with a nice, easy jump, but services are going to be cut. Like Mary said, if the money's not there, we're not going to be able to do certain things. So by going to the 3 and taking 186, all we're saying is we're not going to cut anything from the SSA. If downtown is that separate from the rest of the community and that important to the vitality of the community?
So if we go to that right away, actually we'll decrease our general fund budget slightly from what we've been paying before and satisfy that option. But they're going to have to pony up a little bit more to keep the services that they have. If we don't want to do that, that services will have that. My guess is we'll be cut. But are we dealing with 321 or 450? I still wanted to come back and bite us later to see if we're still, you know, 100 G's short of where we needed to be and great.
I can answer it. The 321, those are operational costs.
Okay.
What Pam's talking about and beyond are capital costs. We're either talking about capital maintenance to keep up with the required maintenance, and then we're talking about capital fund balance into our savings account so that we can invest in other parking, additional parking. So those are two capital in addition to the 321. 321 is operational.
So we can address those separately at different.
We can, yes. Because we can't go beyond.
Right. So we're relatively safe dealing with the 321.
The operation. Yes, we need to.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that, see if there's any more discussion. I mean, I kind of understand where we're going with this, and I happily make amendments to put it to 2003 if that's you know what everybody would feel like doing. It seems to me to kind of be the only way out of this because I don't see the money coming from anywhere else. It's just not fair.
Mr. Pollock, are you interested in offering an amendment? Because if you are, then I want to. Mr. Brown, do you want to speak prior to that?
I want to speak prior to that.
Okay. Do you object, Mr. Brown? Dr. Brown, excuse me.
Again, I don't like the way the discussion is going here. The bottom line is we're asking whether we're going to ask the merchants for $104,000, $124,000. That's a 19% increase in what we're asking. Now, I agree that we've gone through the books and realized that for many years we've been charging things to the general fund, which may or may not belong in the special service area number one. But that's the way it was. And here, when times are tough, we're asking them for a 19% increase in the tax rate. I find that irresponsible, and I cannot in good conscience vote for it. I will vote against it. I would suggest that we should have decided that we were going to start increasing this tax rate, maybe 5 or 10% a year for the next few years, giving both the merchants and the landlords sufficient notice that they can rewrite leases, they can reevaluate what they're doing downtown. But to give a 20%, almost a 20% increase, no previous motion, no previous statements to what we're going to do, I think it's just, you can't do that. That's ridiculous. We're asking for another $20,000 over the $100,000 we got last year. No previous notice to any of the merchants or any of the landlords. I cannot vote for a 20% tax increase. We're finding right now the silliness of Illinois tax law. You have to decide how much money you're squeezing out of the people first, and then later decide what you're going to spend it on. That's the way backwards politics works in Illinois. We have to decide we're going to squeeze another $20,000 out of the merchants, and then later we're going to say, okay, now we've got another $20,000. What do we really need to spend this money on? That's the backwards way of doing budgeting. That's the way it is. I think it would have been much more sensible. I agree the city should have reevaluated how much money we needed on a long-term basis. To decide all of a sudden we're going to do the study this year, I'm going to squeeze a lot of more money out of it in 1 year, especially the worst possible year to do it, makes no sense to me. I cannot vote for a 20% increase in the tax rate. Thank you.
Mr. Alada, to the main motion, right?
I'd like to speak before just for the Calvin Piper. I think if we go over to 0.003, the general fund still has to subsidize, which means we're probably still cutting services. I just want everybody to be clear.
No.
If going to 0.003 is not going to ensure that all services are provided.
No, that's based on that. That's using the number where all services are provided, 1 through 7. That's the 321.
That is, but to raise the levy to 0.003 won't do it. We determined earlier in the evening that to get that number, we have to go to 0.0045.
No. That was for a different. No, Craig. That was slightly different. That 0.003, according to Paul, will give us $186,000.
Right.
Okay? Of that $321, then you're right, the city would continue to subsidize at $135,000. That's your 60-40 split. Currently, we're subsidizing over $200,000.
So we gain, but what I'm saying is if we have to cut the general fund budget again, there's still no guarantee that we'll continue, that we'll provide all services in one from seven.
We dramatically cut SSA one from we're right. And if we're, you know, we could, there's, yeah, we don't.
You're saying it sounded as if we're going to be able to continue to provide services. I don't know that's.
Just for clarification. For clarification, the motion is.
I don't remember acknowledging it.
Sorry, you're talking about a certain dollar amount to be collected. How that's used, what it covers, is for the budget discussion.
Right.
That's not tonight. You're only talking about a total dollar amount that will get added into the SSA budget, and then you'll have to figure out how much more will be subsidized into that budget to cover X expenses.
And my only point, Craig, was at that point, 03, we are far less likely to have to cut those services than we are at 002, 0025, because it's, I mean, judging by that 321 or whatever it is, you just want to deck your architect, damn, you're really not, I mean, we're not really doing
it. We don't want to sell ourselves short. That's what we're trying to
just make a really good.
No, I didn't. I thought, no, but in my opinion, if we raise it to almost double, we're throwing the deck chair off the Titanic, because now you're squeezing the businesses that are surviving out. Not all of them, but some of them. So it's, we're going to have a shortfall somewhere else.
But hang on, what was the number that
was in
the
month?
What did Joe say? A lost sale is never recaptured.
What is it? It's not a tax rate.
What is it?
It's a tax rate.
I don't have it, Michael.
Well, we could massage what we've heard all night to make it to all of our points. All I'm saying is, if I went anywhere, if I went to McDonald's or the dry cleaner or my property tax and they almost doubled, I would have freaking heart attack. And that's what I think is, I would never, if that's too far of a jump, in my opinion.
John, we're talking about.
Mr. Pawlak.
Well, there's no motion to do that.
There's no motion to do that yet. Just because I'm granting, thanks to Mr. Pawlak's generosity, folks who want to speak to the main motion, because Ray has determined that he wants to offer an amendment. So, Dorothy, do you want to speak to what's on the floor?
Right.
Okay.
I know that Alderman Brown mentioned it was a 19% increase.
174.
Insurance companies raised the rates at 25%. Insurance premium coverages have raised an average of 25% a year. So, I mean, 20%.
Okay, but we're throwing all these percentages on here. We're talking about less than $30 a month swing. I'm not talking about 10 grand a month. This chart, we're talking about $30 a month swing.
$3?
Yeah, you grab a couple of lattes. You've got
right here. Good shape. This is the increase.
That's the increase right there. The proposed increase, if you want, projected increase.
Okay. Percentages are creating a motion.
Oh, no, well, that's the beauty of percentages. No.
I just want to clarify from what Ellen said, that the majority of the properties were assessed at 450, which means their EAB is 150. If you look at 100,000 EAB versus Florida 300,000, they're currently paying 168 or 503. If you look at 0.03 or 0.02, wherever you want to look at, just take the 0.03 at the 300,000, which you know the majority are below that. You're talking about $400 per year. So you're talking about $30 a month.
Yeah, that's not per month. I think someone may have said per month earlier, which talk about getting the AED. Yeah, it's like, anyone else to the main motion? I'm going to recognize Mr. Pawlak. Mr. Pawlak, I believe, has an amendment to the motion.
I would move there that we can amend motions from 0.0020 to 0.0030 middle.
There's amendment to the motion on the floor by Alderman Pawlak. The amendment requires a second to be debated, discussed.
I'll second.
Seconded by Alderman Singer. On the amendment, Mr. Piper.
So, Joe, at 30 bucks a month, is that worth the services they're getting? I guess I'm going back and forth with percentages.
On new business, having to make a comment, at average is really deceptive. It's going to be very lopsided on who's paying this. We'll take two buildings as an example. 201 West State Street, which I own, it's a corner lot on State Street. 524 West State Street, corner lot on State Street. If you back up the value of the land, just look at the value of the building based by square footage, I'm being assessed 1.5 times for my building at 524 than I am at 201. Am I getting 1.5 times service for my 524 building than I am for my 201? You know, it's a ridiculous amount. So how this is being, you know, assessed is very unfair. It should not be done on value. It should be done by square footage. But I understand that that's impossible to do right now, and that we're taking the easiest route to get it done by, you know, sending through the town to fellow ministers. So, you know, you're talking about two buildings, you know, past $1 million. Those are my buildings, you know. So I'm paying a gigantic amount more, and I'm still for it. I'm still for it going through, because we can't afford to lose some of these services, because we'll pay dearly in the long run. But I think it's being applied very unjustly. I think we need to look at it. Under new business, I was going to ask, you know, Mary, if this could be brought up for discussion at a later date when there's more time to discuss how it can be more fairly assessed. And there are some properties that are literally being assessed twice the amount per square foot. And if you talk to the assessor, I go, how can this be? And he goes, well, your new building is all for construction. Your construction has an elevator, so it's worth so much more money. But I can only get so many square feet out of the building, only so much per square foot in the property. So this is being assessed very unfairly against the properties.
Well, I guess my point is we throw around the big scary percentages. All the average 40 or 50 bucks a month, we're not dealing with an enormous amount of cash to more than one, hopefully keep those services. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I think it's more of a, you're more likely to keep them. And I don't know. I mean, after business owners, too bad not more of them showed up. Because, boy, I'd pay 50 bucks a month to have people just keep them coming in and making sure that I kept what I had.
$50 a month is our average. Our average sale is $50. So if I have one more customer, I've covered.
Okay.
As a merchant. Yeah.
So what you're saying is Mr. Melodra spends 50 bucks a month on his care?
He doesn't. That's what he's easy to do.
He's a little
confused.
You're
going to
get more flowers for your wife.
That's right.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Good idea.
If I lived in Salt Lake City, I'd be poor. Who the hell wanted to speak?
I'd like to try and allay some of Alderman Broad's fears. Chuck, I understand hedge funds attempting to pass out a 19 or 20% increase. But in terms of the actual dollar amount, I think this dollar amount, although it's a little more, the services that we're providing will benefit the community greater than the loss of sale by us not providing those services. So.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
But we don't know that we are going to still provide the services. I mean, you can't marry those two together. It may increase the likelihood, but you cannot say if A plus B equals C. We could raise it and then still not be able to provide some of the services. And,
no doubt.
And I know it's a little bit of money, but I think it's too much of a jump. I really do. And I know that some people can do it, will do it, gratefully, cost of doing business, but
I, in good conscience, cannot shop downtown and know that I just voted to double their tax rate for the SSA. But that's just me.
We're not doubling their tax rate, just the SSA.
The SSA rate, though.
The SSA.
And then in 6 months, we're going to tell them, huh, the economy sucks even more, and you're getting less services.
Dawn, listen, I hope to God we don't have to. But this is it's a tough decision that we have to make, just like we're asking the merchants.
We're not asking them, we're telling them.
Well, but of course this is something we don't want to do, but this is something that, unfortunately, we have to do.
Then, okay, that's fine. It's just a matter of, but they studied it, and they only wanted to set the rate up a baby step. So why are we, after 3 hours of discussion, jumping to the nth degree?
Because we're going to have to, if we don't, we're going to have to cut services. And I don't feel that we should cut the services.
I'm ready to vote.
And I don't either.
I'll interpret Mr. Dottino's comment as the question has been called. This is on the amendment, on Mr. Pollack's amendment, seconded by Mr. Singer, to amend the 0.0020 mil to 0.0030 mil. On the amendment only. Recording Secretary Fornari, sadly enough, prior to taking the vote, just for the record, only Committee of the Whole members can actually vote on this. Therefore, if Mr. Lieben or Mr. Casper or Mrs. Gaines wants to speak to the issue and or lobby now, you can do so. Otherwise, those holding elected office will be voting.
So it's just to change the amendment to a 0.3.
Correct. 0.3. So, Madam Recording Secretary, are you still awake?
Yes.
Second.
Alderman Brown?
Nay.
Alderman D'Antino?
Nay.
Alderman Flanagan?
Nay.
Alderman Hill?
Nay.
Alderman Maladra?
Nay.
Alderman Marks?
Nay.
Alderman Pollack?
Aye.
Alderman Piper?
Aye.
Alderman Singer?
Nay.
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Nay.
My God, I can't do it.
That's how I know it's wrong.
Yeah, that's the amendment, ladies and gentlemen, which fails 8 negative votes and 2 affirmative votes. Yeah. The main motion on the floor is to increase recommended levy to 0020 mil.
Call for the question.
Question's been called. Oh, your timing's everything, Dorothy. Tell me about it. Okay, Madam Recording Secretary.
It's just the regular amendment that we...
0.20.
Up from the
0.16,
yep. Alderman Brown?
Nay.
Alderman D'Antino?
Nay.
Alderman Flanagan?
Aye.
Alderman Hill?
Aye.
Alderman Maladra?
Aye.
Alderman Marks?
Aye.
Alderman Pollack?
Nay.
Alderman Piper?
Nay.
Alderman Singer?
Aye.
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-4.
Wow.
We will be in touch with the committee members before we move on to the next topic via email as to whether we can get this ready by next Monday. Right, Mayor? Okay, this is the email. It's going to be ready by next Monday. So,
just the levy,
not the budget. Okay. Let's jump to new business before we adjourn to executive session. Any new business from any member of the audience? Mr. Stanton?
What I spoke about before, as far as looking at and funding, I know it can't be done right now. We're not going to bring this to the, you know, COW at a later date and discuss the arithmetic of how it's going to be.
I'm going to have Mr. Radovich address it.
Joe, under the SSA ordinance for SSA number one, the allocation of taxes is based upon an ad valorem basis. So if you were going to change it to some kind of lineal footage, some other methodology, you'd have to do a complete amendment of that ordinance. So you would take.
I went through most of this with Paul, and he was explaining that. And I understand that, but this is the easiest way to go about it. But simple arithmetic, you know, times have changed and town, the way the buildings are evaluated, things like that. And within this SSA area, you know, if we have to quit calling SSA and do something else to make it more equitable, you know, is that something we can look into? Because we actually break it down by parcels and we break it down by square footage. This is very, very lopsided on where the funds are coming from.
Well, under the SSA statutory framework, you can have other methods of determining how someone is going to be taxed. But I will tell you that it becomes very problematic if you're looking for any kind of bond monies. You probably will not get banks or bond counsel to approve bond issues with methods that are non-ad valorem. Plus, we have difficulties in getting the payments through the county system, through the treasurer and the county clerk's office, because they will do them only because they're a part of the tax bill process. So it really complicates the matter. But I think for bond issues and for collection, you really have some roadblocks.
You know, I understand it does complicate it, but I think if we sat and we did the math, where some people are paying for the ease of the system. And just for record, I have a couple properties that are just taking a beating on it, and I have another couple properties that are just caving in.
Well, but then, in all due respect, it may be an inequality in the tax assessment process as opposed to the special service area law.
I wish that would be nice.
But on any amendment of that nature would require a public hearing with notification of all of the property owners and the electors within that special service area boundary.
So this is something that can't come up to be?
No.
It can definitely come up.
What the magnitude of it is. It's not something the city council can do independently.
I do understand that this isn't a small issue at all. And that's why I was going to bring it up under new business rather, you know, because we're looking at weeks, you know, to have this all, you know, taken care of. But the math of it is very, you know, inequitable with the property owners. And if you look at, you know, maybe Dotson Place, what they're assessed at, and, you know, maybe the problem is with the assessor, but we're still, you know, paying the bill for it.
Anyone else in their business in the audience? Pam, your special guests, have any comments to make that are printable? No? Anyone from the dais? I have just one comment, and I erred in not making this at the beginning of the meeting, but for those of you who know or perhaps had the opportunity to share with Mr. State's Attorney John Barsanti, he lost his mother last week after an illness, and she was a resident of Geneva, and I promised John's father, Mr. Barsanti, that we would honor his wife and John's mom, and just with a brief moment of silence to let him know that we're thinking about him. So if you could do me that honor, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Folks, I'm going to entertain a motion. just say that it's a motion to Commander, grab your gun, please, and immediate affairs. It's executive session motion. 2, appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of employee of the public body and pending litigation. Motion by Dantino, seconded by Mr. Singer. We're going to stay here if nobody objects. So we need a restroom break. Help yourselves. Commander, go straight home. Mother of God. Yeah, nobody in the closet.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, bye,
Mark. Yes. Clearly. Casper, thank you very much. That's fascinating.
You know, one of the reasons we helped him was to kind of avoid things like
I heard you talk, he talks in traffic moving to the south side of the...
No. Because people on the north side of the street, they walk by us, they're either on the church or going to the park. You know, and on our side of the street, they got good service.
Oh, Sean.
And they got the street, and they got drunk, and they got crazy. People come down the bridge, and they're trying to...
Mental barrier. Unless it's Starbucks, and they get hell out of it, you just start to go across the street. I wanna put in one, you son of a...
Yeah, but I used to have really...
Way worse.
Then I get run over.
Yeah, I'm laughing.
I didn't know the church and traffic was... Since I've been on the street, I've been through stuff like that. I don't... I'm gonna... I'm gonna...